Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be Jumanji for 10.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is happening, Philadelphia? Joe Torti Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope that you had a great weekend. And obviously, there have been some developments. Some things have happened since we last talked. Namely and mostly, Carson Wentz is back in 11-on-11 drills. Seeing a lot more of the starting quarterback. And that should be good, right? That should be some optimism in relation to where we were originally. There's no way to know yet that he's going to be cleared already for the opener, and there's no guarantee that he's 100% going to be medically cleared to go or anything like that, but still, it's a positive sign to see him coming back despite being held out for all of those other practices of 11-on-11s. Opening day is coming up. You want to start Wentz on the path? Like, there was some discussion about rust and how potentially he might have to shake off some rust during the regular season. Ideally, you want to start ramping him up right about now. If you could get him involved in Game 3, which I know they said they don't anticipate doing, ideally that would be the case. But at the very least, you should at least be thinking about getting Wentz involved more in practices, team activities, 11-on-11s, and things like that. There won't be any football questions after this. If he's working out with the ones in practice and he's kind of moving around and doing everything that he's supposed to be doing, like I've said, my position about him playing in the preseason still hasn't changed. Doesn't make a difference to me. But I do think, though, that there is a relative lack of information about Carson Wentz with respect to his return from this injury and, you know, the track record that we could look at of quarterbacks coming back from the injury, right? We're looking at three players at quarterback who have come back and started the season off immediately when they had suffered an ACL injury late in the process a season ago. One of them, Philip Rivers. Rivers came back, locked up, no problem. He played on the torn ACL and then led the league in touchdown passes, had 34 touchdown passes, right? Pretty good stuff. Carson Palmer came back. Pretty good. No problems. Had a 4,000-yard passing season, right? And then, of course, there's the one that everybody points to. Robert Griffin III comes back, struggled a little bit. Well, a little bit is a little bit of an understatement. And ran the risk of the injury. Didn't look like he was ever fully back and ultimately ends up wrecking himself and potentially his career. I know that he's still on the comeback train, but it's taken a little bit longer than I would think he anticipated, right? The example that I actually have pointed to, because it's tough to find a good example of someone who is, you know, as physical as Wentz is and had the injury history that Wentz does and everything else, right? The one that I've pointed to is Adrian Peterson, who, of course, signed with Washington today. Peterson comes back 6 months after the injury. And you know what? It looked for a while like it was going to be just an unbelievable run for him. Like, it's superhuman. And for a while it was, until he experienced another significant injury on that lateral side, and his career has kind of gone sideways, right? That's the way that it works. It's a hit and miss kind of thing. We've seen the quarterbacks come back, and Carson Palmer was a lot more mobile pre-injury than post-injury. Philip Rivers was never what you'd call a mobile quarterback. RG3 ran a bigger risk. And then, of course, there's Adrian Peterson. Donovan McNabb came back after this injury as well in 07. You might have remembered that. Ended up having a pretty solid ending to his career despite what happened when he was out of an Eagles uniform. What does all this mean? Why am I bringing all this up? Well, the reason why is because with relatively little information that we have about quarterbacks returning and starting week one after experiencing an ACL injury late in the season. Well, when you look at it, you think about Wentz and you're trying to figure out where does he fit into this puzzle? Where does Carson Wentz fit in when he is coming up on 9 months removed? Right? You've got Palmer, you've got Rivers, you've got Griffin, you've got Peterson. I don't know how strong it's going to be right away. I don't know how good Wentz is going to immediately be as soon as he jumps back into things. I can tell from his perspective, he cannot wait. He's chomping at the bit to get out there. But for the first time, I decided to look at the history of the guys who are coming back from this injury. And there are some good, and then obviously there's some not so good. And I think that I underplayed as well when looking at Adrian Peterson. I think everybody remembers, oh my gosh, Peterson's a freak, comes back and you know, rushes for 2,000 yards or whatever, right? But then the other, you know, kind of darker side of that is Peterson comes back, has the great season, and then starts breaking down. And we see one of the best backs of all time starting to fall apart, right? So when it comes down to it, I don't know what to expect from Carson Wentz. I don't know. Here's what I do know. A healthy Carson Wentz provides the best opportunity for the Eagles to actually have a realistic repeat bid. It's already going to be difficult thanks to their schedule and thanks to the fact that they're not going to be sneaking up on anybody or anything like that. But you've got to have your top guns available, and Carson Wentz is one of those. So through that lens, it makes the most sense to say, all right, if he can start week one, you want to start him week one. But the concern kind of sets in when you say, all right, well, what if he doesn't end up like Palmer or Rivers? And what if he does end up closer to RG3 or eventually Adrian Peterson? Because I feel like that's a risk that most Eagles fans would not be willing to take. Medical clearance is one thing. Clearly, he feels confident in himself. Clearly, his coaching staff feels confident in the ability that he's shown already to bounce back from this kind of injury. When you watch practice, there's no hesitation moving. There's no hesitation throwing the ball. There's no problems that Wentz has that at least he's showing. He doesn't look ginger. He doesn't look tentative. He doesn't look like anything like that. But we're going to be kind of holding our breaths every time that he's out there for a little while, just because of the fact that he means so much to the franchise and the track record, the status of a guy like Wentz coming back after an injury like the one that he experienced is, well, let's call it what it is, mixed at best. Do you have concern now that you're hearing that Wentz is coming back? I think that a lot of times we get caught up in the hype of saying, oh, he's going to be ready week one, he's going to be ready week one. Hopefully that's the case. There's something setting in, I think. There are some people that are, you know, kind of feeling the animosity that has started to creep in because Wentz has even talked about, you know, earlier this week, oh, it's going to be close playing week one and tore his ACL and his LCL. Says the doctor's going to make the decision. Says he feels good. And by all accounts, this decision for return to play needs to be a unanimous decision between the coach, general manager, owner, medical staff, and players. That's a lot of people to all come and agree, right? But the fact that Wentz made it to 11 on 11s says that he could have almost full clearance by the end of next week, maybe. And we'll see. Peterson said that it was a big step for Wentz to return to full team drills today, and he's going to get first team reps. It's a big step. He called it a big step. It's big to start to evaluate him, see where he's at, get him back in there with the guys. It's a slow process, but at the same time, it's still exciting for us to get him out there. And I'm sure that it's a galvanizing thing as well, where having your leader out there certainly rallies the troops. But I've got some questions now long term about how this is going to come together, just because there's such a mixed bag for how this is going to fit, how everything's going to come together for Wentz, whether he's going to be able to immediately contribute, whether there might be immediate contributions that, you know, end up costing something long term, like it did with Adrian Peterson, or like Rivers and Palmer, you come back and you're better than ever. 610-632-0975. What are your feelings about this whole thing? Because I want to know if there's overreaction in the air and it's just cautioning ourselves against good news and we've been conditioned to think that the other shoe's going to drop and things like that, or whether that's all just getting blown out of proportion and that it's all going to be fine. The other thing I wanted to get into tonight, this helmet rule issue is something that I don't think is going to go away. But there was an interesting couple of calls during Devon's show earlier and Mike's show before that that got me thinking about, you know, the outrage and everything else with this. The rules for the NFL have continued to shift towards the offensive side of the ball. The offense continues to get just about every advantage that you can get. I mean, you think about, for example, all of the defensive penalties that result in a first down. You think about all of the defensive penalties that can cost the defense enormous amounts of yardage. You think of everything that the defenders are no longer allowed to do to the offensive players that they were previously. Whether it's jamming beyond 5 yards or holding or a horse collar or whatever you want to throw out there, there are constantly rules favoring the offense where the defense has something that sort of works and the league wants to see more points, wants to see more free-flowing play, and then all of a sudden all that gets erased, deleted, thrown out the window, no problem. I wonder, and I know that it's different because the outrage hasn't been there at this same level, but I wonder if eventually people will get over the helmet rule because they just love football. We're addicted to it. I know that Devon was talking about earlier, and it's a conversation that gets had frequently about declining viewership numbers, and is the NFL in trouble, and will eventually they become, you know, a second-class sport here in America? And with all due respect to everyone who disagrees, I don't see that happening. I don't see a scenario where the NFL falls out of favor and falls behind baseball or basketball or hockey or soccer or cricket or mixed martial arts or boxing or horse racing or anything. I don't see a scenario where that happens. Because I think that when you are honest with yourself as an NFL fan, you have dealt with a lot. You have stuck through a lot. If it was a relationship, all of your friends would have already said, hey, you've got to end this. You've got to get out of this. This is bad for you. And you've still stuck around. You've stuck around through learning to survive the ground, the process of a catch, whatever that is. You've lived through spot fouls for defensive pass interference. You have lived through blocking in the back on every single exciting special teams return play that exists. Every single time something comes up and says, we always say, this is going to ruin the game. This is going to be the end of the game. This is going to be the death of football. Now, this is a little different. This rule kind of blows that up on a global scale, whereas before, these little things were just, you know, minor, small tweaks. I've talked about before how this is the only rule that I can remember being instituted that literally has nothing to do with NFL football. This idea that lowering your helmet in order to brace for contact or to initiate contact is now a foul flies in the face of what traditional technique is. Even a form tackle, even if you don't make contact with your helmet first, your helmet still leads your shoulder in order to make this form tackle. Richard Sherman had a tremendous tweet about this earlier today that I thought really encapsulated what well, let's face it, a lot of NFL players are feeling about this. This is the quote that Richard Sherman had from his tweet yesterday. There is no, quote, make adjustment, end quote, to the way you tackle. Even in a perfect form tackle, the body is led by the head. The rule is idiotic and should be dismissed immediately. When you watch rugby players tackle, they're still led by their head. We'll be flag football soon. And you know what? There are people that tweeted into Richard Sherman and said, you know, rugby players aren't making contact with the head. They're not, you know, the only reason that that's the case, that it's technically true, is that the head leads the body, leads the shoulder into contact. And yet, that's the problem as we currently sit right now. It's not this helmet-to-helmet conversation. It's not people getting hit in the head. It's about lowering your helmet to instigate contact. One influential league source, this is according to a story from ESPN, said that the NFL is looking at a probable 3-year adjustment to the new emphasis that'll change behavior with consistent application. That means that this thing's going to get flagged over and over and over again until people get it. I get that there is significant data that suggests that the NFL could be in trouble with this CTE concussion lawsuit thing. And I understand the need to cover yourself and protect your business. 100% I understand. But it's almost like if you were setting up a restaurant and you started setting up rules against selling food and promoting, you know, people to bring their laundry to you instead. Like, I get it. It's a service that it makes sense, but it's not what you initially got into this for. Tackling and going to the ground has been a part of the NFL for a long time. I've been trying to figure out how in the world hits are going to happen. Is it, do you trip guys? Do you throw professional wrestling cross body blocks like they're coming off the ropes? What do you do? Now, a caller brought up earlier, you're likely to see a lot more missed tackles than you would normally see, and I could not agree with that anymore. I think about how difficult it is when defenders, linebackers, safeties, whoever it is, have all of their tools available to tackle LeGarrette Blount or Leonard Fournette or Todd Gurley or any of these monster backs. Now you're going to take all of their tools away. I don't know what's going to happen. You're going to try to arm tackle these guys? Good luck. It was hard enough when you could do whatever you wanted. Now you're going to slow them down with arms? I don't see it. Two things on the table tonight, as you can weigh in. It's 610-632-0975. And, of course, on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Is there any concern in your mind that Carson Wentz could be coming back too early if week one is the target date? I know that the decision has to be unanimous, but the track record on a return from an injury like that is mixed. And also, with this new helmet rule, this new helmet emphasis that the NFL is setting up, is it possible that this game can be preserved? Or is this the first day, or the first year, because I mean we've been at this for a couple of weeks now, of a shift? Is this whole thing going to be way different than we remember? John from Gladwin called Devon's show, and you know, John has seen some football. Devon has seen some football. The names that come up, whether it's Butkus or Berge or Bednarik, I've brought up Dawkins in the past. Ray Lewis has been a guy who's been brought up. Troy Polamalu has always been thought of as one of the greats. These are guys who lower their helmets and launch themselves at their opponents. Not necessarily helmet to helmet, but you lower your helmet to initiate contact. Malcolm Jenkins delivered that legendary hit in the Super Bowl. Is that something that would even be allowed at this point? The issues that we're running into are sincerely and deeply problematic for the sport as we know it. I don't think that that means that football is going to just go away and people are going to latch on to the NBA or to hockey or baseball or whatever your second favorite sport is, or maybe it's actually your favorite sport. The NFL has a hammer lock on popularity. And any kind of ratings decline or popularity decline is realistically minuscule. Now, granted, the numbers are significant, but in terms of the total fraction of people still watching NFL football, the league doesn't have anything to worry about. But this whole thing could slide sideways on them if they're not careful. And they had better be. Because there is a significant risk of a certain amount of people. I'm not saying that it's people that are, you know, going to be enough to slide the NFL to second or third in popularity or anything like that. I don't see a chance of that happening. It's just too strong. But there's a generation of football fans who grew up in the jacked up generation, or the hard-nosed, hard-hitting, intimidation factor generation, and aren't interested in flag football or two-hand touch. Whatever this thing is trending towards, whatever it's turning into. As long as there are still the Odell Beckham Juniors and the Antonio Browns and the people who can make the spectacular plays and make you say ooh and ah, there's going to be a market for football. There, as long as there are highlight capable players, there's going to be a market for the game. Is it the same game, though, that you fell in love with? 610-632-0975 is your phone number to climb aboard. You have open phone lines. Join the conversation with us right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is the Joe Torty Show, taking you up until midnight. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, it's Harry Mays here to talk about the fastest growing Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram dealer in the tri-state area. My friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Come see why so many South Jersey and Philly buyers are coming to Turnersville for great deals on new Jeeps, Ram pickups, Dodges, and Chryslers at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Now, I was down there, and I'll tell you, wait till you see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. And here's what's great. They're just minutes from all the bridges on Route 42 in Turnersville, New Jersey. Or you can check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Go down there and ask for my main man, Ron, at TurnersvilleJeep.com. It'll be worth the trip. This is Harry Mays for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com? TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville.
I'm a real person, real voice, and a real face. Even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico Local Offices. A Geico Local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico Local Agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really?
And there's more. A Geico local agent could help you with more than just auto policies, like motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Stop by or give them a call today.
Washing my nose, oh yeah.
I'm a shower curtain, and I do one thing. Keep water from leaking everywhere. So you see why I feel useless compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, not only could Geico save you money, but they've been around for over 75 years. And they give you 24/7 access online, over the phone, or on the Geico app. And they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They do all this while I have to listen to this chucklehead. Oh, good, he stopped.
Washing my toes!
Oh, great, an encore.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
For over 140 years, Univest has partnered in our local business community's development, growth, and helped share their vision. And we've never forgotten the values and principles that have shaped us. Building personal relationships, individualized customer service, and a willingness to listen. Add local decision-making and integrated financial solutions, and it's a very difficult combination to beat. One we look forward to sharing with you. Univest Banking Insurance and Investments. Financial solutions for your business.
Is your car full of ash holes? Couch got a bunch of ash holes on it? Be done with all the ash holes in your life. Stop smoking. Start vaping. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly is now open. Located just off 76, minutes from the stadiums, Gorilla Vapes' friendly staff will show you the best in electronic cigarette hardware, e-liquid, accessories, mods, and advanced vaporizers. Whether you've never tried vaping before or you've been vaping for years, come try Gorilla Vapes of South Philly and let the staff help you with all your vaping needs. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly, 1900 Bear Avenue, Philadelphia.
With the new Express Sports football and car racing from the Pennsylvania Lottery, you can play your favorite sports at participating retailers, bars, and restaurants. Make your picks on your play slip, like touchdown pass on the third play, or the first three cars across the finish line, and watch the fast-paced, lifelike action on the big screen. Withdrawals for cash prizes every 5 minutes, there's never a dull moment.
Express Sports from the Pennsylvania Lottery. Compete from your seat. Players must be 18 or older. Benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Gary Cobb for Experimec of Cherry Hill with a back-to-school message for all parents. Experimec of Cherry Hill sells pre-owned laptops, desktops, iPhones, and iPads for up to 60% off the original price. All products come with a one-year warranty, so you can be confident with your purchase. Why buy your kids' new Apple products when pre-owned are just as good? I'm an Experimec customer. You can be, too. It's simple. Keyword search Experimec Cherry Hill. All the details are on their website.
Hey guys, it's Natalie from 97.5 The Fanatic. Family and Company Jewelers is at it again this year, offering Fanatic listeners the chance to win $2,500 toward a Fantasy Viraggio engagement ring for your fantasy girl. Go to the contest page on 97.5thefanatic.com to enter, and don't forget to stop by their booth at FanFest on August 25th for a chance to play me in cornhole and win some great prizes. Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and online at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's largest diamond destination.
North Shore Bar Kitchen in North Wildwood is hosting a legendary football pep rally on Friday, August 24th. Don't miss out. Join Harry Mays and myself, Jason Martinez, for a live broadcast, then stay for a pep rally with football legends Ron Jaworski and Trey Thomas. Get ready for another world champion season at North Shore Bar and Kitchen. One lucky person will win an all-inclusive trip for two to see your world champs play in Nashville. Don't miss out on this exciting day. Football legends, food and drink specials, all at North Shore Bar in North Wildwood.
Sports talk for Berlin and all of Camden County. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show. 97.5. The Fanatic. Taking you up until midnight this evening. Benny Odita is my producer behind the glass. Carson Wentz starting his return, another step, let's call it, on the long road back, right? Won't play against the Browns on Thursday. Peterson said that he doesn't plan on playing Wentz in the preseason finale, even if he's fully cleared. You know, their team is just focused on getting him out one day at a time, 100%. And Doug Peterson said the biggest thing's communicating with him, just saying, hey, here's the plan, this is the way it is, and this is what we're sticking to. Said, if I were in his shoes, I'd probably want to be out there too, but this is obviously for his health and benefit and his progress and longevity of his career, so the biggest thing for me was just being open, honest, and communicating with him up front. Yep. 100%. Now, having said that, though, if you're in the repeating business and you're in the repeat championships business, you've got to have your best guys out there. It's a difficult situation to figure out. It truly is. I've thought about this at length. I've been on both sides of this. I was never like a, hey, Wentz should sit out the season guy. I've never, ever felt that way. In fact, I have said on these airwaves, and I still feel that way, provided that he's healthy and provided that he's cleared, week one is a necessity. There's no like working your way back in or anything like that. Like, that's not anything that's on my radar. But I just realized that watching this game and watching this team this year with Wentz, there's going to be a little bit of a Sidney Jones effect here, at least for me. Every time that Sidney Jones goes down and every time that Sidney Jones makes a tackle or something like that or falls, gets tripped up, I'm going to constantly be wondering about whether he's okay. I can't help myself. It happened with Joel Embiid. It happened with everybody. Everybody that comes with Ben Simmons, every time somebody gets injured and they're coming back and they're missing extended time, I mean, I can't help it. That's just the way that I'm looking at it now. So unfortunately for us as Eagles fans, we've got one on offense and one on defense. We've got Carson Wentz on offense, and we've got Sidney Jones on defense. And Jordan Hicks is the same way. Don't get me wrong. You've got to do what you got to do. You got to take a reasonable, organized risk. Understanding and educating yourself on, okay, well, these guys might get injured, but they're also your best chance to win. And at the end of the day, it is professional football. But at the same time, you know, especially with everything that's played out with the Eagles and the way that they have handled things, the way that Nick Foles was able to step up in the playoffs last year, the way that Nate Sudfeld has acquitted himself really, really well in the preseason here, there's a lot of what I would call potential for Wentz to be a little bit slowed up. Wentz to be a little bit, you know, pulled back. And no rush to get him back in there. Is that what's best for the team? It's a great question. Also, if you were wondering about the Nick Foles news, and you missed this earlier, there was a question that emerged before, and we talked about it because the news broke last week when, you know, we were last speaking, that A.J. McCarron reportedly suffered a hairline fracture of his collarbone. And the question emerged about whether you would be interested in trading Nick Foles to Buffalo for a high draft pick. Well, it appears that that dream's over before it even started to begin with, because the way that it worked, A.J. McCarron got a second opinion. And according to that second opinion, per Adam Schefter and others, there is no fracture in the collarbone. So I don't know, you know, why one doctor counts more than the other. I don't know if one doctor had more advanced material or equipment, or I have no idea. But apparently that's out the window. So what that means is that you would not be, you know, throwing Nate Sudfeld out there on the first day. That would mean that you're not looking just at a guy like, well, Nate, to try to pin your championship hopes upon. You wouldn't have to worry about that. I'm not sure if that changes anything for you. I'm not sure if it makes any kind of difference. If you're a Carson Wentz and an Eagles fan, realistically, it doesn't matter who it is, right? You just want to see your team start your guy right away. And don't get me wrong, I'm there too. But the more and more that I think about this, and more that I see this, I realize that I'm going to be walking on eggshells a little bit as long as I watch Wentz until he takes a couple of hits and bounces back up or scrambles and things like that. It's going to be an issue. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Also, with this new helmet rule, lowering your head in order to make contact. That's what the rule says. Not making helmet-to-helmet contact, not even initiating the contact with the helmet, but lowering your head in order to make contact happen, in order to make a tackle. That's what the rule says. It's hard for me to see a scenario where the current status quo of tackling can even be maintained. The consistency is questionable. Now, having said that, I'm sure that we can't expect instant perfection when it comes down to this helmet stuff. And we can't expect all of the officials to immediately have it nailed. I don't know if there's going to be like replay being deeply involved in this. I don't know if every one of these is going to be looked at or whatever. That is a way to drive people away, though. I'll say that. And people are hating on baseball because everything takes too long and it goes to instant replay and blah, blah, blah. If you're the NFL and you're worried about declining viewership numbers, well, this is a way to make those fears way worse, as if you're reviewing every hit that could be flagged for lowering the helmet. But here's what I'll say. The referees will be better at calling this. I don't necessarily believe the conspiracy that, like, oh, they're just trying to send a message in the preseason, and then eventually they're just going to throttle this back and they're not going to call it in the playoffs. I think that by the end of the preseason, they're going to have a much better idea of what they're specifically looking for and what is not going to be acceptable versus what's just a routine football play. They'll be better at calling it in a month. And then they'll be better than that in a year and 2 years and things like that. I don't know if this rule is just going to be straight up abolished. I have no idea. But my gut tells me that this thing isn't going away, if for no other reason, then it's likely coming down from the very top. It's likely coming down from the commissioner and from everybody advising the league for how to make it through this concussion storm, this potential lawsuit that's coming up. And it's going to turn into an issue that it changes the league. It changes the way that people view it. Does that mean that the league will drop in popularity? Will you stop watching football because of this? Because I have heard people say that before. I've heard people talk about, oh, well, this whole, you know, defenders aren't even allowed to defend anymore. I'm going to be out. And the NFL is still a ratings juggernaut, no matter which day it is, no matter who the teams are and everything else. So I've heard all of it before. Is this time different, though? If this rule sticks and it's anything even close to what you see in the preseason, are you just going to be out on the league? It'd be hard for me to see a scenario where that happens. But if you're one of the ones who says, yeah, I'm going to vote with my clicker and go watch something else, I want to hear from you. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Because, I mean, honestly, the frustrating part from an Eagles fan's perspective is that the team's finally put together this ferocious, hard-hitting defense that's reminiscent of the ones that, you know, were here in the 90s and the mid-2000s and things like that. Those defenses kind of took a step back in recent history, you know, under Chip Kelly and late-era Andy Reid and things like that. Now the defense is back. Now you've got a bunch of hard-hitting, tough guys who are capable of intimidating when they lay hits on people. Just in time for the league to embrace this rule that says you're not allowed to lower your head in order to make contact. It's frustrating, there's no doubt. So if you were one of the people that says, all right, I'm going to be out on the NFL, it would make more sense here than anywhere else. Because that's what we've come to expect from this Eagles team. And in fact, this has always been a defensive-minded city. This has always been, and maybe it's the cold weather, maybe it's just the history of the great players that have been here in an Eagles uniform, but we have always kind of thought of ourselves as defensive-minded and defense first. If that's getting taken away, I completely understand where you'd be coming from. If you're saying, all right, well, you know what? I'm out on this. I'll go ahead and occupy my time elsewhere. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also catch up with the show on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic if you want to weigh in on this. Because I am actually shocked when I hear things like, you know, the league's going to die and no one's going to watch. Because I'm not saying that, you know, anyone who says that is being ridiculous. I'm saying that that would have been unthinkable 5 years ago. Thinking about the way that the league has totally just dominated every time slot, every day, regardless of what it's going up against and everything else. Honestly, I'm not sure that this league isn't just bulletproof when it comes to actual on-field stuff. Now, if there's lawsuits and things like that that could derail things, that's a completely different conversation. But is this rule enough to get you out on the sport altogether? We'll take your phone calls on the other side, 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Barbera.
Hi, I'm Gary Barbera.
Wait, I'm Gary Barbera. And we approve this message.
It's official.
Gary Barbera wants to thank you for making us number one.
Oh, mama.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
At Barbera.
On the Boulevard.
Hello.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
During Gary Barbera's On the Boulevard
summer clearance event.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
And
Challengers.
Chargers
from $19,990.
Minivans from $19,990.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
No models are being held back. Even Ram trucks are from $19,990.
990.
It's official.
You made Gary Barbera's number one in Dodge sales, as reported by Dodge Division. We couldn't and we wouldn't say it if it weren't true.
How do we do it?
All we do is discount Dodges, Chryslers, Rams, and
300 Jeeps cheap. Is Barbera's on the boulevard the best?
Boy, I guess.
It's official.
Barbera's is number one, and we're having fun.
Is your car full of ash holes? Couch got a bunch of ash holes on it? Be done with all the ash holes in your life. Stop smoking. Start vaping. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly is now open. Located just off 76, minutes from the stadiums. Gorilla Vapes' friendly staff will show you the best in electronic cigarette hardware, e-liquid, accessories, mods, and advanced vaporizers. Whether you've never tried vaping before or you've been vaping for years, come try Gorilla Vapes of South Philly and let the staff help you with all your vaping needs. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly, 1900 Vare Avenue, Philadelphia.
You can't serve the financial needs of five generations of business customers without developing an understanding of what those needs are. At Univest, it comes from a willingness to listen and our local values. It's who we are and who we'll be for you, too. Whether it's loans for expansion, insurance plans to protect your employees, or creating an effective retirement plan, get advice from a financial partner you trust. Univest Banking Insurance and Investments. Financial solutions for your business.
The Ram Summer Clearance Event is here, and it's time to get to work. But you understand that hard work is about more than building something from wood or bricks. It's about building a reputation. Something that the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 prides itself on, too. With available premium leather and real wood accents and the largest available touchscreen in its class. Surround yourself with the things that are worthy of your reputation. Ram. Built to serve. During 10 days to deal, well-qualified current lessees of competitive vehicles get a low-mileage lease on the 2018 Ram 1500 Express Quad Cab 4x4 with a V6 engine for $119 a month for 24 months with $2,999 due at signing, tax, title, license, extra. Hurry to the 10 days to deal event today. Class based on light-duty pickups. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution to lease through Chrysler Capital. Excludes all other FCA vehicles. 25-cent charge for each mile over 20,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 8/20. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
When it rains, it pours. And it has been relentless recently. If your roof hasn't been up to the challenge, call Roofing Nation now. Protect your precious home for as little as $99 a month. Seeing stains on the ceiling, or worse, drips or warped wallboards? And what you don't see could be damaging your home structure. You can't afford to wait, because a new Roofing Nation roof is more affordable than ever at just $99 a month and 50% off on all roofing. We will even throw in free gutters as a bonus. Even at this incredibly low price, you're still getting a top-of-the-line roofing system from the same local company with a nationwide reputation for quality products and workmanship, Window Nation. Now's the time to replace that old roof before it does serious damage to your home. Roofing Nation guarantees you a top-of-the-line roofing system, including lifetime shingles, lifetime warranties, and more, starting as low as $99 a month, 50% off, and free gutters. Can't get much better than that. Low prices, same great roof, expedited installation, and peace of mind that it's done right the first time. Call now, 833-4-NATION, or visit roofingnation.com. Again, 833-4-NATION, or roofingnation.com.
Hey everybody, Anthony Gargano here to talk to you about the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. Oh, I love this product. It's the Bagster Bag, of course. A 3-cubic yard dumpster in a bag, sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, and for only $29.99. Look, the Bagster handles all jobs. So whether it's cleaning out the basement, the garage, the attic, maybe you're a contractor, or maybe you just want to purge all the bad luck in your life, like I did with the sports community. It works, baby. I'm telling you. Throw everything in a Bagster. Anything you want to get rid of, in a Bagster it goes. And it's convenient, and it's affordable, and it's on demand. You buy it, fill it, simply schedule your collection, and poof. Gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find stores nearest you for more details. That's right. Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster. Dumpster in a bag.
Sports voice of the new Philadelphia. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Benny Odita, my producer this evening, taking you up until midnight, 610-632-0975, the phone number to hop on. You can also weigh in on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. You can now be first up, just about to hit a phone call.
The guy dropped off the line.
So you have the opportunity to get in without any kind of wait at 610-632-0975. Now, one of the other things that goes into this helmet rule deal is it fixable? Is it a locational thing? Is it an equipment thing? Is it the way the players can approach, you know, how they're supposed to do things? Richard Sherman doesn't seem to think so. But there are some others out there who do have some solutions. There are some players out there, or ex-players or commentators, who have said that they think that some things could happen here. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, let's go to David in Delaware. David, you're on the Joe Torti Show. What's happening, man?
Doing pretty good.
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to say this. One of my suggestions, I've been watching sports all my life, and I watch the NHL and hockey.
Okay.
And they have a rule where they say no launching. You can't leave your feet. And I saw some games, just most of the times when these guys are using their helmet, they're leaving their feet. If they say you cannot leave your feet, the helmet will be taken right out of the game.
Okay, and it's not a bad solution, but like, what do you do when, like, say there's a jump ball in the back of the end zone and you're trying to force the guy out or whatever? Like, what do you do for those situations?
That means you're jumping up. You're not going to be, there's no force. There's no force on the hit then.
Well, I completely get it, but what I'm saying is, how's an official supposed to, like, what's the angle? You know what I mean? Like, where's the cutoff line for launching versus just jumping? I think that would create some issues.
Well, if it's jumping, there's not going to be any forcible hit. If you're jumping up for a ball and the guy's head's hit, there's no force. There's no injury there. I mean, it's not going to take everything out, but 95% of the injuries are coming when a guy is launching himself at the
right. Yeah, turning themselves into a missile.
In the Rams game, on the 5-yard line, guy goes to hit with his shoulder, and the other guy, you know, just drops down. And instead of him hitting him in his midsection, he hits the guy in the helmet. The guy throws the flag. He didn't leave his helmet. The guy just dropped down. There's no way the defensive guy could do anything.
Yeah.
So Richard Sherman was dead right. It's not what the leading with the helmet is not the answer.
No. Well, I agree with you, David. Good stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call. And it's a good suggestion. I think that something like that is going to have to be the closest thing that the league can come up with. Richard Sherman is right. I mean, when you break down, even if you're putting your helmet to the side of somebody when you're trying to tackle them around the waist, you're still leading with the helmet. You're still lowering your head in order to make contact. Now, I'm sure that there's going to make different scenarios and issues with this, what's actually a penalty and what's not. The refs are going to look at it. They're going to set up training videos. They're going to send them to the teams. They're going to send them to the officials. This is what's good. This is what's not good and everything else. And, that's going to be a gradual growing pains process. But I don't know if there's a solution. I don't know if there's a thing where you can line this up and say, all right, well, this is a be-all, end-all solution. Because I like David's plan too, but like I said, what's the angle? If someone's jumping up for a ball and you're trying to force the ball out, or you're trying to force them out or something like that, and you're trying to throw forearm shivers and you happen to make contact with the head, like I think that there is a lot of gray area that could be troublesome. Let's go to Frankie in Delco. Frankie, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe. How you doing tonight?
Great, Frankie. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, just wanted to bring up the helmet rule and then bring up the Eagles after that.
Okay.
So, obviously, with the helmet rule, it's obviously a bit frustrating watching preseason and seeing how many flags are being called throughout the course of a given game. I think, however, when it gets into the regular season, that the refs are really going to hold back. It's just something that's being tested right now, but I don't think that it'll be as bad during the regular season.
Do you think it's because they'll be like refining the definitions of it, or do you think it's more that they're trying to send a message in the preseason that won't be, you know, trying to be delivered in the regular season?
Yeah, I think that they're just trying to send a message in the preseason that is really just using it as maybe just like a base example of what they could implement in the years to come. But I don't think that you could just hold that on the official shoulders of calling that, especially if the game's coming down the wire. I just don't see that happening. I feel like maybe over the course of the regular season that they will just go to a review monitoring system, kind of like they do in college football, mm-hmm. and make calls that way. I think that that's going to just take the pressure off the refs a lot, and going to make all the players happier as well as the fans.
So what about the fans, though, Frankie? Because, I mean, I know that a lot of us get annoyed with these reviews that take too long, or some people think it's obvious, some people think it doesn't, it's not obvious. I mean, I'm concerned that this could really slow things down from a watching experience.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think that it will definitely slow the game down more than what it is now. But if you look at college football and how much they review, I mean, it still has a good pace to it. I think that the NFL really needs to implement more of this just to not rely so heavily on the officials to be the deciding factor in potential football games.
Sure.
Especially when it comes down to the end of the season and in playoffs. I think it's going to have huge implementations on the season. I think that the NFL isn't going to want their officials to be making these calls and game time decisions. So,
no doubt about it. What do you have on the Eagles, Frankie?
Yeah, one last thing on the helmet. That instead of the rules, I think that the NFL really does need to generate and put more money into finding equipment that enables team doctors to be actually looking at concussions when it comes to these players. I mean, obviously the helmet rule is implemented because of so many people are getting concussions, CTE, depression down the line. But I think that there's just if the players take better care of themselves and they don't lie about when they have concussion-like symptoms, I think that's really going to help them in the long run. And I mean, we can skip my Eagles point, but I just think this is like a much more serious topic where,
of course,
players can't be lying to themselves. I mean, in the long run, they're hurting themselves by toughing it out, not telling doctors when they think that they have a concussion, and some of the problems has to be held responsible on the players.
Sure.
And their shoulders.
Well, but the good news, Frankie, thanks for the phone call, man. Some of the good news is that there are players who are starting to do more self-reporting of concussions. Like the most recent example that came up was Ben Roethlisberger reporting from Steelers camp that, you know, he thinks he might have gotten his bell rung, might have had a concussion, went into the protocol, and then ultimately was deemed to not have a concussion. But it's different than, you know, back in the day when players would just use smelling salts or just shake their heads and say, yeah, I just, you know, I'm okay, I just need a breather, whatever it is. Before, I think there was a lot more of that macho attitude amongst everyone. Now, the problem is that injuries and not being able to be out there on the field can cost some people jobs. It's not going to cost Ben Roethlisberger his job, but for the sixth string safety or whoever's trying to make the roster and might be the last guy on the 53, if that guy's injured and another guy's not, that's a difference between a guy making a significant NFL paycheck and not. That's where I think the trouble comes in, and the lack of self-reporting and everything else, because for these bubble guys, sometimes the health is literally the determining factor in whether they make a team. Just look at the Eagles' fourth string running back situation, right? Is it going to be Josh Adams? Is it going to be Matt Jones? Is it going to be Wendell Smallwood? Is it going to be Donnell Pumphrey? Well, a lot of those guys have started to kind of take themselves out of that race on their own just thanks to the injuries that they've experienced. So it is a difficult topic. I mean, you do need to think long-term if you're a player and say, all right, well, I've got to report what I have to when it comes down to health injury or head injuries and things like that. But it's easier said than done. When push comes to shove, and it's like actually coming down to, am I going to report this in order to preserve my long-term health when it could potentially cost me a roster spot and a job? It's a completely different conversation for a lot of these people. They understand, I'm sure, that in a vacuum, you can make the right decision. But it's not the easiest thing in execution when you could potentially be leaving a significant paycheck or a roster spot on the table. 610-632-0975. We'll be right back with more. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
You work in any of the trades? You want more cash in your pocket today? Then go to Armor Metals and Recycling. Well, they'll pay you top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, computers, peripheries, and more. Armor Metals and Recycling has a tractor-trailer, accessible large, 6-acre facility, magnet service, 70-foot truck scale, 2 non-ferrous scales, container service, and loading dock with scale for large palletized shipments. Armor Metals and Recycling is one of the few facilities with analyzing capabilities on premises for exotic metals,
like carbide, cobalt, and nickel. Can't make it to Armor Metals and Recycling? No problem. They'll come to you. Get paid on site with Armor's weight and pay mobile service available for a minimum of 500 pounds of non-ferrous metals. What are you waiting for? Get paid cash today for all metals, wires, motors, computers, and more at Armor Metals and Recycling. Located at 8300 National Highway behind Pensauken High School in Pensauken, New Jersey. 856-665-5715 or armormetalsrecycling.com. That's armormetalsandrecycling.com.
So, John, what should the Eagles focus be this season?
Eagles fast play, for sure.
As opposed to what?
I'm talking Eagles fast play tickets from the Pennsylvania Lottery. Playing's faster than our wide receiver running a slant.
Faster than our defense blitzing the QB?
Oh, yeah. The game's got progressive top prizes, plus second chance drawings for Eagles game tickets, meet and greets, autographed merchandise, and more.
Wow, I'm going to get mine fast.
Fast play. Play fast, win instantly. Players must be 18 or older. Please play responsibly. Benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
North Shore Bar and Kitchen in North Wildwood is hosting a legendary football pep rally on Friday, August 24th. Don't miss out. Join Harry Mays and myself, Jason Martinez, for a live broadcast, then stay for a pep rally with football legends Ron Jaworski and Trey Thomas. Get ready for another world champion season at North Shore Bar and Kitchen. One lucky person will win an all-inclusive trip for two to see your world champs play in Nashville. Don't miss out on this exciting day. Football legends, food and drink specials, all at North Shore Bar in North Wildwood.
Hey guys, it's Natalie from 97.5 The Fanatic. Family and Company Jewelers is at it again this year, offering Fanatic listeners the chance to win $2,500 toward a Fantasy Viraggio engagement ring for your fantasy girl. Go to the contest page on 97.5thefanatic.com to enter, and don't forget to stop by their booth at FanFest on August 25th for a chance to play me in cornhole and win some great prizes. Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and online at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's largest diamond destination.
For over 140 years, Univest has partnered in our local business community's development, growth, and helped share their vision. And we've never forgotten the values and principles that have shaped us. Building personal relationships, individualized customer service, and a willingness to listen. Add local decision-making and integrated financial solutions, and it's a very difficult combination to beat. One we look forward to sharing with you. Univest Banking, Insurance, and Investments. Financial solutions for your business.
Hey, it's Harry Mays here to talk about the fastest growing Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram dealer in the tri-state area. My friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Come see why so many South Jersey and Philly buyers are coming to Turnersville for great deals on new Jeeps, Ram pickups, Dodges, and Chryslers at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Now, I was down there, and I'll tell you, wait till you see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. And here's what's great. They're just minutes from all the bridges on Route 42 in Turnersville, New Jersey. Or you can check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Go down there and ask from my main man, Ron, at TurnersvilleJeep.com. It'll be worth the trip. This is Harry Mays for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com? TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville.
Hey, Luke, what's up with you today? No beer or wings with your buddies? And you haven't sat down once to watch the game since we got here.
Shh, honey, please. I'm having a little discomfort.
As in pain?
Yeah, real pain in the... you might say. And lately, the day after I have a beer and greasy food, I'm really paying for it.
That's it. I'm making an appointment with...
The Fanny Doctor.
The what?
Dr. Lowell Meyerson. FannyDoctor.com. John, his brother, and sister have been patients for years, and they swear by him.
Tonight, I'm checking out FannyDoctor.com, and tomorrow, we're making an appointment.
I'm Dr. Lowell Meyerson, the only board-certified... certified proctologist in Pennsylvania. I perform state-of-the-art procedures to treat your hemorrhoids, pain, and bleeding. I can help you to prevent colon cancer. Very often, patients' problems can be eliminated with simple procedures that I perform right in my office. Call me today at 215-379-0444 to schedule a personal appointment and visit my website, FannyDoctor.com.
If your end zone is in the red zone, call Dr. Lowell Meyerson, DL at 215-379-0444.
Gargano in the morning, Martinez and Mays midday, Missinelli afternoon, and Philly's best sports talk, period. This is 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Benny Odita, my producer, behind the glass. We're taking you up until midnight. Your phone number, 610-632-0975. Talking Eagles, talking NFL, talking helmet rule, and what it could potentially mean moving forward, as well as the Eagles season. Obviously, they've got a ton of stuff to deal with right now as the defending champs. All the injured pieces coming back, all of the guys coming off of those these season-ending injuries, whether it's Jason Peters or Darren Sproles or Carson Wentz, all these guys kind of coming back. And by all reports, the injury news has been positive. So, knock on wood, we hope to keep that going. Let's go to Zach and Mullica Hill. Zach, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hi, I want to know, what team in the NFC do you think poses the biggest threat to the Eagles?
If I had to get, just looking at it right now, Zach, what I would say is probably the Rams, but the Eagles should feel pretty good in terms of talent. Now, schedule, I don't know, but the Rams would probably be mine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. There you go. So there's, I would say, a lot of talent in the NFC. There's a fair amount of what I would say of realistic contenders, and then there's another level of you know, talent, but it's not quite at the same level as, like, I think the top tier is Philadelphia, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Green Bay. And then you can sprinkle in some players or some teams beneath those groups and say, all right, well, Seattle could be good. San Francisco could be good. But, I mean, the realistic threats, those are probably the four. And a lot of it really comes down to Carson Wentz. I mean, I think that without Carson Wentz, there is less space between the Eagles and some of those other teams. In relation to when he's in the game, obviously it changes things tremendously. Now, Wentz said that he felt good today and he was feeling good as he's working his way back from his torn ACL and LCL. He still says it'll be close, but he doesn't have any hesitation. It's going to all come down to the contact. And don't forget, Wentz did the full team drills early in training camp, but then after that, the Eagles backed him off for a few weeks. And I mean, some of that was the buzz of players just being around him and working their way in on him and too many players getting too close to the quarterback. I get it. And Wentz wants to be out there every day. He said it wasn't totally my call. You have to be smart in those situations. It was tough, but I definitely enjoyed getting back out there in the full team drills. So that's hopefully a good sign for the Eagles as they try to work their way back here. It's hopefully another step in the road back in terms of the way that they will get their starting quarterback out there for week one, which is the stated goal. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Now, we brought up Adrian Peterson earlier today. He signed with Washington. Now, I know that he's not the Adrian Peterson of old. You're not talking about the 09 or 10 Adrian Peterson. But just taking a look around the rest of the NFC East, you have to shake your head a little bit when you see the other starting running backs, or seemingly you would think that Adrian Peterson's going to be given every chance to start based on all of Washington's injuries and the way that their depth chart has kind of been decimated at running back. It's Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if there's a much better group than that one in the league. But I would still say, and isn't this amazing? I would still say that the Eagles, quote unquote, gimme games might be in the division. Everyone's close, don't get me wrong, but I think that there's a certain level of dominance that they've established over Washington. I'm sure that New York's going to be better. I don't know how much better they're going to be. I don't know if Dallas scares you or not, but I look at some of their other games and think, okay, they've got some tough, out of division games. They're going to need to be locked in on the NFC East. They're going to need to take care of business within their own division in order to make things happen. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to climb aboard. Let's also open it up on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. What's happening, Mitch? How you doing, man?
How's it going, Joey?
Going great.
I hope everything's good.
Likewise.
I think the Rams, Eagles, and the Vikings are the top three teams. The Vikings they made an improvement getting that Cousins over
Keenum,
backup guy.
Yeah, and then they got Cook back too. That might have been an oversight by me not to include them. They should have a pretty good season here.
Definitely have that some defensive line. But who do you think gets traded first? One of the Eagles' backups or Terry Bridgemore? I mean, who would have thought that the Eagles and the Jets would have a plethora of quarterbacks that could start for other teams?
You know, I've got to tell you, Mitch, I've been wondering about why anybody would be super interested in trading for Teddy Bridgewater. Like, he is, I've looked at his, like, stats, his career average, he has, like, 14 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Like, I don't know why that's stuff that everybody's so excited about.
I think he's rebounding his health. He deserves a shot. It won't cost a lot of money and it won't cost a lot of draft picks.
Well, yeah, you're right about
some
that.
Some teams don't have, you know, some teams, quite a few teams, if their starting quarterback goes down, they're in big trouble.
Well, yeah, Mitch, you're not wrong about that. Thanks for the phone call as always, man. You're not wrong, but, I mean, I'm looking at his career right now. And actually, it's right on the money of where I thought it was. Started 12 games in 2014, threw 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Started 16 games in 2015, 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. It's right on the money. That was just me guessing where he was, and that's exactly it. And then obviously had the significant injury, came back and appeared in the game for Minnesota last year, and went 0-for-2. And through the interception. I don't know what would make Teddy Bridgewater more enticing than any Eagles backup quarterback not named Christian Hackenberg. When I think about the way that the Eagles have set up and kind of groomed their backup quarterbacks, and it's a testament to Doug Peterson, it's a testament to the entire offensive group that has gotten Nate Sudfeld ready and that gotten Nick Foles ready last year and took the huge step forward with Carson Wentz last offseason. I mean, I don't know why teams wouldn't be more confident in what the Eagles are selling than anything that's going on with the Jets, to be completely honest with you. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Talking Eagles, talking helmet rule. Is it going to change the way that you at least follow the game? Is it going to change interest for you? There were a lot of people earlier today saying that they're going to be out on the NFL if this helmet rule doesn't get fixed. I'd be surprised if you put your money where your mouth is when it comes down to that. But certainly it's one of the most revolutionary things that has happened to this league, which for a lot of people, myself included, has been bulletproof, no matter what the issue's been. It's not an easy issue to deal with when it comes down to player safety, protecting yourself as a league legally, while also still staying true to what made people fall in love with football to begin with, or at least a lot of people. The jacked up big hits generation. Let's go to Dennis and Ben Salem. Dennis, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Joe, how you doing this evening, bro?
Tremendous. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay. Hey, this is all because the NFL realized offense equals ratings. There's an easy fix for the helmet rule.
Okay, I'm listening.
Last guy to change the pad level to lower his pad level, that's who gets tagged with the fine or the penalty.
So you're gonna have like running backs and safeties like running into each other straight up and down like they're in those sumo suits in a minor league baseball game?
No, but I mean, if you go back and you look at the majority of the really bad hits that have happened over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, you'll see a DB is, you know, thigh pad high, mid, you know, middle of the gut.
Right.
And the receiver, the running back, whoever it is, lowers his pad level to try and get behind his shoulder pads. And all of a sudden, you got helmets colliding.
Right.
You got the defensive back or, you know, their helmet hits the other guy's helmet.
Well, so are you saying then that the defender, because in this instance, right, if the defender's still looking for the chest or the waist level and the offensive player lowers their helmet, I mean, you're saying that the defensive player should get penalized for that if it's whoever's lower gets the penalty?
No. The last person to go down.
Oh, I see. The second person to go down.
Yeah,
I see.
So when the DB is, you know, chest level and the receiver running back lowers his pads
to try to take him on. I see.
There's your penalty. because the DB, the linebacker, the defensive player isn't necessarily, and I know there are players out there, they go for the head. It happens. But they're not always going for the head. They're going for, you know, a good form tackle. And like, you know, all of us know, the head leads the shoulders.
Yeah.
So when they're going for the breadbasket and all of a sudden the offensive player drops his shoulders, his helmet comes down too, and now you got a head-to-head collision.
Dennis, I think that that's something, and good phone call, man. I think that that is something that needs to be integrated into whatever kind of teaching, learning tools that the NFL is possibly using at this point. Because when you look at it through that lens and say, all right, this is going to be a clean hit, and whose fault is it that it's not a clean hit? There's something to that. However, there's always going to be a reactionary element to this, right? Where, I mean, let's face it. Why do cut blocks exist? It's because you're trying to get the defensive line's hands down and stop them from being able to jump up and swat passes. It's just instinct that if somebody goes for your knees, you go into a little bit of a sprawl and you get your hands down and you try to protect yourself. I don't know if a running back, if a wide receiver, or a tight end, anybody who has made a career out of running through people and protecting themselves with their shoulders and things like that, I don't know if it's going to be possible to unteach that. Because what you're pretty much asking then at that point, and I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, I'm just saying this is what it is. You're saying that you have to, in essence, give yourself up if the other person is lower than you or risk a 15-yard penalty. If you're a running back coming through a hole, you've got to let a guy pretty much chop you in half if he's coming right for your midsection. Because if you lower your head or your shoulder pads or anything like that to take on a hit, you run the risk of not only taking a big hit, not only potentially risking helmet-to-helmet contact, but also having a 15-yard penalty tacked onto the end of it. That is the second good solution that we have heard this evening that still leaves some wiggle room and some problems. The first one was about launching and players leaving their feet and things like that. I get that too, but there's still a lot of gray area with respect to jump balls, 50-50s, back in the end zone where you're trying to knock somebody out of the end zone since there's no force out rule anymore or anything like that. I don't know. See, that is the issue with this whole rule as it exists to begin with, is that there are elements that you could have implemented in order to make this whole thing safer. But with the language being what it is, lowering your head, lowering your helmet in order to initiate contact, regardless of whether that contact's with the helmet or not, it's kind of cut and dry what a penalty is and what it isn't. Now, granted, I am sure that the officials have kind of been instructed to call it as closely as they can in the preseason. So that way they have an index of what to look at and, okay, we'll go back over the tape. Is this a penalty? Yes. Is this a penalty? No. And that way they have the material for the instructional videos and everything else to not only educate their referees, but also the teams and the players as to what's going to be acceptable moving forward and what's not. Get that 100%. But in the meantime, there's going to be a contingent that sees this and thinks, this is going to be something that I am not interested in watching long term. Think about this. Richard Sherman brought up, you know, that it's going to turn into flag football. I don't know how big of a stretch that is. What have you seen on the NFL Network an awful lot over the last couple of months? Flag football. The NFL potentially wants to show something like that as being viable and entertaining and interesting. So that way, if this whole thing slides sideways and if there's going to be a big stink made about helmet-to-helmet hits, CTE, concussions, potential other brain diseases that are coming out, not necessarily every day, but every couple of months, there's been something new that's not CTE that has been tied into repeated brain injuries, repeated collisions and things like that, right? If they have all of that information out there, they can say, all right, well, you know what? There are elements of flag football that could make this whole thing safer. And we've already shown how entertaining flag football can be. We're just going to integrate that into what we do at the NFL level. It might sound like a conspiracy theory. And you know what? It might never come to pass. But I find it hard to believe that it's just a straight-up coincidence that these players are being showcased, these flag football players, at the same exact time that all of this legal drama is kind of rearing its ugly head for the NFL. Are they out of content? No, they had all those training camps to cover. They had, you know, preseason battle. There's enough NFL to go around. With teams moving around and players moving around and free agency and everything else, there's plenty. They didn't need to do that. This was a concrete, conscious decision. That's why they did it. Like I said, it might not ever play out. But I'm looking at it sideways thinking that there's a chance that this is exactly why you're seeing this kind of thing at this exact time. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Now, by the way, just to talk everybody off the ledge who's saying, oh, these referees are going to ruin football. They're brand new at it. Brand new. They'll be better in a month at calling this rule. They'll then be better in a year calling this rule. And maybe in 3 years, we completely forget about everything. And it's just like, oh yeah, this rule should have been obviously implemented. Like the face mask or like defensive pass interference. It's possible. And these guys will be better. But that's not to say that the league doesn't have a problem in the meantime with players and coaches and fans all alike being confused and kind of all looking at each other with their hands up in the air, like, what in the world do we do with this now? 610-632-0975. A couple of open phone lines if you want to grab those. You can also catch up with the show on Twitter at Joe Torty and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Talking Eagles, talking Carson Wentz, and talking this brand new NFL helmet rule, emphasis, however you want to spin it. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on the Joe Torty Show.
Yo, Joe, man. You know what? I was just in there talking Benny Zeroff. Here's what I'll say about this hit rule, because I want to talk about the Nick Foles situation.
Sure.
So, do you know how we're still trying to figure out what the heck a catch is in the league? Like, they are still messing with this rule to this day. So the fact that this rule is in its infancy, it's going to have its ups and downs. They're going to be still doing tweaks and it's
sure.
for years to come. But here's the thing, you know, at the end of the day, and I hate to say this because I think I'm against this even coming back, but the XFL, this is exactly what why the XFL may get more attention, because for a lot of people, you know what you signed up for when you came into the NFL. You knew what this game was about before, you know, and Benny made a great point. Like, you know, why are we sitting here and wussifying the game even more? Mike Missinelli said today, and I think it was absolutely, you know, hilarious. He was talking about putting skirts or skirts on the quarterbacks or something like that. Like, is this really what this game is? I understand. And I told you before about extra padding. But I understand that this game, you know, CTE and concussions, the Will Smith movie, et cetera. But, you know, how much is too much?
Well, Chris, here's what I would say to answer that, is that I would say that it's different. The players now today, both in the terms of the amount of information that's out there surrounding brain injuries and also the compensation, it's way different than the Deacon Joneses and all those guys in the 1960s, 1970s coming up who were playing in the NFL just instead of working in a factory or a coal mine or something, who didn't have all of that information and who weren't compensated millions and millions and millions of dollars. I think we have to draw a line. There's a difference between the guys who today, like you said, you do know what you're signing up for, and the guys back then who had no way of knowing.
Well, see, to some degree, though, wasn't that more enjoyable football to watch than what we're trying to watch now?
Well, but I don't know if I can argue that with you, but then you're also seeing guys like, you know, Eric Dickerson and all these guys who are banged up. All, you know, it's you don't want to see your heroes today like that, right?
Let's take Carson Wentz, for instance. You know, we're talking about, you know, him getting hit. Look, I think that's when we'll know whether he is the so-called 100% is when he finally takes that first hit. And until I see that, I'm scared to death of this, of the future of this kid, because one hit and that injury's not right. And then you're always going to run into that problem. But Nick Foles, all right. and this includes Nate Sudfeld into the situation, didn't it? And you were saying that, you know, talking about, you know, preseason and what Nate Sudfeld showed you. I also asked Mike that this afternoon. I said, has the preseason, you know, moved the needle for you? And he said, no. I said, I see where you're coming from, where Sudfeld showed you enough to where if Buffalo offered you this so-called number one, I'd take it in a heartbeat, because Nick Foles at times was talked about a 2, 3, or possibly fourth round pick
right.
for him, and he wasn't even considered a first round pick, even after the Super Bowl.
Well, there's no way they're going to give you a first round pick. There's no chance. Well, they just spent one on Josh Allen. There's no chance that they would spend 2 first round picks on quarterbacks in one offseason.
Well, see, Buffalo was it? Buffalo, yeah. So,
I think
if you could get something from them, look, man, if we could work something out that is actually better than keeping Nick Foles here, I'm in. But now that you say that, are we going to see him spend the contract out and this be what it is in your mind?
Yep. And Chris, thanks for the phone call, man. That's exactly what it's going to be. And you know what? This is not the same as an Eagles team that is like barely making the playoffs or is trying to rebuild or anything like that. It is like, here's the thing. When you're trying to repeat and you're trying to go back to back winning a Super Bowl, one of the toughest things to do in sports, you need all hands on deck. And I know that a lot of times we can fall in love with the idea of getting, you know, a pick for someone who's going to walk away. It's like, oh, you run the risk of losing them for nothing. You don't lose them for nothing. You have Carson Wentz coming off of a significant knee injury. 2, to be specific, with the ACL and the LCL. You've got him coming back off of those. He has always gotten injured. Every single season has had something go on. And it's not to say that he's always missed games, but he's always gotten banged up, dating back to pre-college. Just the physical way that he plays the game. You need some kind of insurance for that. So I would argue that you have the peace of mind of knowing that you have a Super Bowl MVP as your primary backup. That is worth more to a Super Bowl team than whatever second round linebacker or third round defensive tackle you'd be able to land in a Nick Foles trade. First round pick, something different. I thought that maybe with AJ McCarron, you know, going down, that Buffalo would be a potential trade target. He got a second opinion. Apparently he's not actually down. And also the fact is that Buffalo just spent a first round pick on a quarterback. They're not going to spend 2 on quarterbacks. Now, you take Josh Allen because you believe in him for the future. If you can get Nick Foles at a discount, maybe. But they've kind of got an open competition thing going with A.J. McCarron and company over there. So while they might have initially been identified as a trade partner, I don't see that happening. Couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show. We'll be right back on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Philadelphia. GEICO presents need-to-know information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Sometimes I wear something I grabbed off the floor if it passes the smell test.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Yeah, I've tasted dog food before. It really didn't taste that bad.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
If I forget someone's name, I call them dude or man, and then avoid talking to them until I figure it out.
And not needed. But you should know local agents in your area could help you find even more savings with GEICO, like military or federal discounts. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So Philadelphia, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Barbera. Hi, I'm Gary Barbera.
And we approve this message.
It's official.
Gary Barbera wants to thank you for making us number one.
Oh, mama.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
At Barbera.
On the Boulevard.
Hello.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
During Gary Barbera's On the Boulevard
summer clearance event.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
And
Challengers.
Chargers from $19,990.
Minivans from $19,990.
300 Jeeps Cheap.
No models are being held back. Even Ram trucks are from $19,990.
It's official.
You made Gary Barbera's number one in Dodge sales, as reported by Dodge Division. We couldn't and we wouldn't say it if it weren't true.
How do we do it?
All we do is discount Dodges, Chryslers, Rams, and
300 Jeeps cheap. Is Barbera's on the boulevard the best?
Boy, I guess.
It's official.
Barbera's is number one, and we're having fun.
Hey, everybody, Anthony Gargatto here to talk to you about the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. Oh, I love this product. It's the Bagster Bag, of course. A 3-cubic yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, and for only $29.99. Look, the Bagster handles all jobs. So whether it's cleaning out the basement, the garage, the attic, maybe you're a contractor, or maybe you just want to purge all the bad luck in your life, like I did with the sports community. It works, baby. I'm telling you. Throw everything in a Bagster. Anything you want to get rid of, in a Bagster it goes. And it's convenient, and it's affordable, and it's on demand. You buy it, fill it, simply schedule your collection, and poof, gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find stores nearest you. For more details, that's right, Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in a bag.
Is your car full of ash holes? Couch got a bunch of ash holes on it? Be done with all the ash holes in your life. Stop smoking. Start vaping. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly is now open. Located just off 76, minutes from the stadiums. Gorilla Vapes friendly staff will show you the best in electronic cigarette hardware, e-liquid, accessories, mods, and advanced vaporizers. Whether you've never tried vaping before or you've been vaping for years, come try Gorilla Vapes of South Philly and let the staff help you with all your vaping needs. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly, 1900 Vera Avenue, Philadelphia.
North Shore Bar and Kitchen in North Wildwood is hosting a legendary football pep rally on Friday, August 24th. Don't miss out. Join Harry Mays and myself, Jason Bertudis, for a live broadcast, then stay for a pep rally with football legends Ron Jaworski and Trey Thomas. Get ready for another world champion season at North Shore Bar and Kitchen. One lucky person will win an all-inclusive trip for two to see your world champs play in Nashville. Don't miss out on this exciting day. Football legends, food and drink specials, all at North Shore Bar in North Wildwood.
At Rolls Auto, we hate the snooty car salespeople and the plaid jackets as much as you do. Who wants to pay more to pay for someone's suit? Not us, and not our customers. As the area's longest-standing independent family-owned dealership, Rolls Auto keeps costs lower by avoiding overhead charges, which save you money. But we have the inventory to rival any big-name dealership. Make the shrewd move for you and your family, and roll into Rolls Auto. For the best prices and best selection, visit Rolls Auto on Frankfort Avenue in Mayfair and online at RollsAuto.com.
The Fanatics Deal of the Week saves you money with a ticket to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race on October 7th, plus a trackside access pass at Dover International Speedway for only $52, a 50% discount to see NASCAR's biggest stars battle for 400 laps on the 1 mile high-banked concrete Monster Mile in the first race of the round of 12. And with trackside access, you'll explore the front stretch of the Monster Mile while navigating 9 degrees of banking plus more. Get this exclusive offer now at 975thefanatic.com. Offer ends Sunday or while supplies last.
Sports talk for Quakertown and all of Bucks County. 975 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Benny Odita, my producer this evening. Philly Bry tweets in, at Philly Bry. Do you think it'll be so bad players will boycott? I know they won't get paid and they'll lose a lot of money, but that's what it may have to be. It's a stretch. Who knows? Major frustration. Well, here's some stuff from players and coaches. Here's what Richard Sherman tweeted yesterday. To all those people, including those who made the rule, I want a video of you running full speed and being led by anything but your head while also attempting to bring down a moving target. You'll soon realize that it's impossible. Maybe that's just Richard Sherman. Everybody, you know, people say Richard Sherman likes to talk. Maybe he's just complaining, whatever, right? This is from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Jim Schwartz talking about this. The instructions we've given guys is try not to lower your head and try to take your head out of it. And I think our guys are trying to do that. I think you can see Nigel's play. He's trying to get his head out. I think even Rodney's play, he's trying to get his head across and get it out. The problem is they're dealing with world-class athletes who are moving targets. It's a little bit easier said than done. Those fouls have hurt us in the first couple of preseason games, and we've got to get to a point where they don't hurt us in the regular season. It's going to be very important work over the next couple weeks, not just learning from our own mistakes, but learning from other teams. Brandon Graham. It's tough because sometimes the runner's ducking his head just as much as you're ducking, echoing what a caller just said. But they just don't want to see the crown of your head hitting his crown or hitting the face mask. Just try to keep your hands up. You're going to get run over sometimes. Try to keep your eyes up. You're going to get run over sometimes. Hey, you're going to get run over. But some people do like to use the crown of their head, and it's just going to protect them because you don't want to be paralyzed from hitting someone the wrong way. So I try to keep my face up, hit with my face mask, and this will force people to start doing stuff like that. Here's some stats. There have been 48 lowering the head penalties called in 32 preseason games, according to NFL GSIS. That's an official league statistical website. That means 1.5 per preseason game. The Eagles and Titans have been called a league high 5 times each. It's real sensitive right now, Brandon Graham said, but as professionals, we're going to adjust. Well, there you go. It's not just Richard Sherman. It's every player, every coach who's involved in this. It's been very few who have come out and said, okay, this is a good thing for football. Now, I said it's very few. It's not none. Teddy Bruschi tweets in from ESPN, obviously, the former Patriot, 3-time Super Bowl champion, now an NFL analyst for ESPN. There have been bad calls in the preseason when it involves the new helmet rule. Officials are using the preseason to overemphasize this rule. For player safety, this must be done. The head must be taken out of the tackling equation. I just don't know how it's possible. I don't understand the actual execution of a rule that ends up with the head completely being taken out of the equation. I don't know. And you know what? Maybe we've all got to withhold judgment. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we should all just wait for the new NFL video, the how-to, for what legal and illegal hits look like. But at least for now, it's leaving players, coaches, fans, everybody just kind of wanting an explanation and not being able to find one. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also weigh in on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. This new helmet rule is going to be something that is going to get worse, I think, before it gets better, because they're going to be, at least at this point, right? It's just preseason. So as frustrating as it might be to see your team penalized for lowering the helmet and initiating contact, at least it's not a real game. Or, I mean, at least it's not a meaningful game in terms of the records, the standings, and everything else. Maybe that's some small solace to you right now. This will be a factor in week one at some point. I think we can all agree on that, right? Like, one of the games week one is going to be at least influenced, if not decided, by this helmet rule. I don't think a penalty can decide a game because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has to happen over the course of a game for a team to win or lose. But a rule like this or a penalty like that could certainly make a big influence either way, no matter how you slice it. I wonder if that's going to be what it takes. You know how the referee strike and everything like that, we were very frustrated with the replacement referees, and you know they were doing the best that they could. They just weren't up to the same caliber of refereeing that we'd become used to seeing, and in some cases taken for granted. It took the fail Mary in order for us to look and say, okay, wow, that was a terrible call. I can't believe that happened. Please, regular refs, come back now. And then the league saw the same thing and thought, okay, well, you know what? It decided a game now between potential playoff rivals. It's time to get this whole thing squared away. And they did. I hope it doesn't take this rule influencing a game in order for the NFL or the referees or whoever it is to kind of get a handle on this and alter, tweak, whatever it's going to take. I hope that that's not what it does require in order to make this change happen, but it's possible. And I am sure that there will be at least an influence on a game. If there's 1.5 of these called per game in the preseason, You can say all you want that they're going to de-emphasize it in the regular season and everything else. You can say that all you want. But are you trying to tell me that it's going to go from 1.5 to game, 1.5 a game to less than 1 per week? I find that hard to believe. So you're going to see this impact a game. I hope it's not the Eagles, although they and the Titans have been penalized the most of anybody for this. So we'll see. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Now, Karate Mark tweets in, I'm coming from a different perspective. I teach tackling as far as wrestling, not football, every day. There are a handful of sweeps, takedowns, etc. that do not involve the head. But to tackle someone, the head is required or it won't work. Now, that's what I said. I said, are you going to be willing to go back on some of your old rules? Because this could actually work if tripping is allowed, if the leg whip is not outlawed, if like some of these other rules for how you're supposed to bring somebody down without actually putting your head next to their waist and form tackling them, because technically you're leading with the head from that perspective. Right? If you really want to get into the semantics game with the NFL, you're leading with the head and missing and getting them with your shoulder in a form tackle. Technically, right? So Mark's absolutely right. There are other ways to get somebody to the ground, but a tackle involves the head. It's going to be tough. It really is. And I'm frustrated that it has almost stolen some of the shine from the upcoming NFL season. Obviously, this is a year that as Eagles fans, we should all be unbelievably excited to get things back underway. And you know what? We are. There's excitement in the city for the Eagles to come back. There's no question about it. But for this to even be a discussion point is frustrating. And as much as I want to see it go away, you know, Richard Sherman comes out and talks. Teddy Bruschi comes out and talks. It is at the forefront of players, analysts, coaches, the people who are actually involved with the game. It's on the forefront of everybody's mind. It's the number one topic of conversation. And so until there's a solution, until this thing gets hammered out, or at least there's a significant reduction in the number of flags, I don't know what the solution is here, friends. I have no idea. Philly Bry again, if it starts to cost teams games, this will get axed. Maybe. If it costs a team a game, though, that means it's given another team a game. How many times have you seen a dirty hit? Like an actual dirty hit where somebody's trying to get somebody's knees, somebody's trying to get somebody's head, and the coaches and players on both sides have a completely different view of it. Oh, well, you know, I saw it was just a bang-bang play. Could have happened to anybody. Like, should have done a better job protecting himself versus this guy's headhunting or this guy's, you know, going for my knees, trying to end my season, whatever. You think that this is going to be any different? Look, everyone can understand that the rule's not great. But you think anybody's going to be like, oh, no, they shouldn't have been penalized for that. We're going to give the 15 yards back. We're going to give the game back. It's frustrating. It truly is one of the more frustrating entities that has reared its ugly head. Truly has. It's become one of the things that I fear could significantly impact the way that we consume the sport. Note, I didn't say that means that everyone's going to stop watching or that this thing's done or anything like that. No, what I'm saying is that the way that the sport is played could shift. And the way that we consume it could shift. It's not going to be so much about the big hits anymore. Could be about the broken tackles and the long runs and the unbelievable catches and everything else. Just more and more offense, more and more fantasy football. You know, and maybe that's what you want. But I don't know. I come from a background of run the ball, stop the run. That's my kind of football. Those like beautiful battles in freezing cold weather that are, you know, 10-6 wins. Like that's what I'm all about. Maybe that's not fun for people to watch. Maybe that is more physically punishing than the NFL needs to be. And you know what? I'm willing to cave on that a little bit. but not to the point where the bedrock of the game is actually starting to get eroded. That's where I draw the line. How about you? 610-632-0975. The Joe Torti Show, right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Home of the Philly sports fan. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Real cases from the files of Swartz Culleton.
My name is Jim. I spent more than a decade as a tractor-trailer driver until I injured my shoulder at work. It was devastating. I had never been out of work before. The insurance carrier for the trucking company where I work put constant pressure on me to return to work, but I couldn't. Then I called the attorneys at Swartz Culleton. They referred me to top surgeons who offered the best treatment. Swartz Culleton fought hard and got me a large cash settlement. Without Swartz Culleton, I don't know if I ever would have settled my claim. Now I refer all my friends and family to Swartz Culleton. Swartz Culleton got me justice.
If you've been injured at work, get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-587-8423. 1-800-JUSTICE. Don't let the insurance companies take advantage of you. Get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-JUSTICE.
University of Maryland University College was made to bring a respected state university education to working adults at home and abroad. 70 years ago, we sent professors overseas to educate service members and their families on military installations and on the front lines. Today, we're online because that's where working adults need us. That's where you need us. Throughout, we'll support your commitment to be a successful student while balancing your life. With more than 90 programs and specializations for where you are and where you want to be. At University of Maryland University College, we go the distance. Times have changed, but what we're made for hasn't. Find out how UMUC can work for you. Get started on fulfilling your dreams with one of our 90-plus programs and specializations. Apply now. No application fee now through August 31st. Visit umuc.edu/radio. That's umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeteer, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Wait until the end, Stephen! With Game Day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Oh. Dilly Dilly.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey guys, it's Natalie from 97.5 The Fanatic. Fenley & Company Jewelers is at it again this year, offering Fanatic listeners the chance to win $2,500 toward a Fantasy Viraggio engagement ring for your fantasy girl. Go to the contest page on 97.5thefanatic.com to enter, and don't forget to stop by their booth at FanFest on August 25th for a chance to play me in cornhole and win some great prizes. Fenley & Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and online at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's largest diamond destination.
When it rains, it pours. And it has been relentless recently. If your roof hasn't been up to the challenge, call Roofing Nation now. Protect your precious home for as little as $99 a month. Seeing stains on the ceiling, or worse, drips or warped wallboards? And what you don't see could be damaging your home structure. You can't afford to wait, because a new Roofing Nation roof is more affordable than ever at just $99 a month and 50% off on all roofing. We will even throw in free gutters as a bonus. Even at this incredibly low price, you're still getting a top-of-the-line roofing system from the same local company with a nationwide reputation for quality products and workmanship, Window Nation. Now's the time to replace that old roof before it does serious damage to your home. Roofing Nation guarantees you a top-of-the-line roofing system, including lifetime shingles, lifetime warranties, and more, starting as low as $99 a month. 50% off and free gutters. Can't get much better than that. Low prices, same great roof, expedited installation, and peace of mind that it's done right the first time. Call now, 833-4-NATION, or visit roofingnation.com. Again, 833-4-NATION, or roofingnation.com.
Have you watched the value of your house continue to go up? Maybe it's time to put that equity to work while rates are still fairly low. Americans have over $5.5 trillion in tappable equity that can be used for many things like paying off very high credit cards, student loans, remodel your house, or add that pool your kids have begged you for. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Let us put you in a position to do any of these things with no closing costs. That's right. Nothing's rolled into your loan, whether it's conventional, FHA, or VA. We'll pay your title, settlement, lender, and recording fees. Or maybe you just want to refinance out of your mortgage insurance with no closing costs. Think about it. All it takes is a 5-minute phone call to see how we can save you hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Call us at 888-455-3669. 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669.
Westland Financial Corp is licensed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of Banking. NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
The Missinelli Station. Afternoons. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Benny Odita, behind the glass, producing this evening's program. We're taking you up until midnight, 610-632-0975, discussing the helmet rule and your Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to Alan in Souderton. Alan, you're on the Joe Torti Show. What's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, Torti? Hey, so two things. First off, I'm a Pop Warner coach for the last 20 years.
Okay.
In the last about 8 years, we've basically, through coaching certifications through USA Football, which are a requirement for the leagues and so on and so forth, we've had all, every coach has had to take a heads up, what is called a heads up course.
Sure.
Basically, it's reteaching how to tackle with your head out of the way and a lot of those things. So with that process has come, you know, I coach 13-year-olds, but right now the 5-year-olds who have come through the program who are now on my team have had 8 years of getting their head out of the way and those sorts of training. So a lot of what you're talking about in modern football where retraining, you know, professional athletes, that's really only around for about the next 4 or 5 years because many of the kids who are coming through the pipeline have already been taught this from, you know, a really young age when, you know, the fundamentals are truly developed.
Well, so, Alan, I hear that 100%, but, like, one of the issues that I have, and Mike Pereira talked about this, was that, like, you're seeing calls made now where the head's turned to the side and you're pretty much getting, like, side of the helmet contact with the body. Is that something that's eliminated in this, like, heads-up training?
A lot of it comes back to basically what they've studied is the old mentalities of football where, like, low man wins and all of that kind of stuff that I grew up, personally, I mean, I grew up, that's what I was taught. That's,
okay.
You know, how I played. A lot of that is now basically taught with a caveat that, yes, the low man wins, except until the point where you become too far forward and with your head down. And that's the issue that, you know, we were taught always, the low man wins always. Nowadays, I teach my tackles and guards that if the guy wants to go low, just take him down and then go to the linebacker because he's not, you know, I have athletes in the backfield, you know what I mean?
So sure.
That guy isn't doing his job if he's just falling down. And if you can help him to the ground because he wants to be the low man and keep his head down, then by all means, help him go and then, you know, go to the second level, get to a linebacker and let our athletes get out there. So it is basically, the principle of low man winning still is true, but it's through technique now and the use of your hands and the popping of the hips and teaching kids that, you know, a lot of the kids are wrestlers or play other sports. Well, they also all have brothers. So when you're at home wrestling with your brother and you do a belly to back suplex, and I show my kids this all the time, that popping and rolling of the hips is all you need to get someone's pad level up. So at that point, if you can think all of that through with your hands, you don't have to involve your head at all. And my background personally is I, you know, played football in high school, but I played rugby in college. And in rugby, you can't tackle with your head.
Right.
So, you know, you have to get your head out of the way. So that's why a lot of what we see now, for football tackling is based upon a lot of the rugby roots of tackling.
Sure. And Alan, thanks for shedding some light on that. Really appreciate your insight there. And I know that's what Jim Schwartz is talking about as well. We were just talking about how the Eagles have kind of been one of the more penalized teams. So the instructions that they've given are try not to lower your head and try to take your head out of it. That 100% makes sense if that's like the interpretation of the rule that the Eagles are choosing to go with. Unfortunately, they are being penalized even though they're teaching that. Now, you can say, you know, it's up for debate whether, you know, Rodney McLeod actually did get his head out of the way or Nigel Bradham got his head out of the way or whatever. I brought up what Mike Pereira said, and he said similar things with Jason and Harry earlier, but here's what he said, and here's the whole thing for context. And I'll read the larger portion of this later, but the problem that I have is, here's the quote, "You're seeing players adjust and officials will adjust. I just wish they would have left it with the crown of the helmet and not just the helmet, because you're seeing calls that are made when the head is turned to the side and you're getting side of the helmet contact with the body. When you turn your head, you're basically leading with the shoulders. I think we're in the shakeout period the first 2 weeks of the preseason. I think by the time the regular season rolls around, I really do think we'll be okay." That's kind of what I'm concerned about. Like, if you're not just hitting, for example, with your face mask, right? And you're using your hands and everything else to, like, get low from that perspective and pop your hips. I understand all of that. But at some level, and, you know, maybe it'll change if everyone is adopting this exact same thing. I can't help but go back to Richard Sherman's, you know, perspective on it and Jim Schwartz's perspective, that these guys are world-class athletes, like the fastest, strongest, biggest people in the world. And trying to hit a moving target with perfect form every single time is difficult. Now, instead of just a missed tackle, if you don't hit them with perfect form, you could potentially have a penalty called on you. Now, granted, that makes the emphasis on form all the more important. And it becomes a major priority for not only do you have to have great form, but you have to execute this much faster than you ever have and be able to anticipate and track and everything else at a much higher level than you ever have. Because, I mean, most of the time, think about it. Most of the time that you see really good, quote unquote, form tackles now, you see them coming from a mile away. These aren't like instantaneous reaction type deals. Maybe that's what it's going to have to turn into. Maybe that is going to end up being the new normal. I'm not sure. Now, with respect to the way that it's being called, this is what Pereira said. "I just think at this point it's being over-implemented, if there's such a terminology for that. To me, part of the preseason has something to do with making a point, and I think the league's adopted a rule that clearly is about player safety. It's the biggest player safety rule that I've seen put in my time with the NFL, and I think they're trying to make a point of it now. And when you try to make a point of a rule like this, you're going to get calls that you just don't want to be made. The officials haven't had to deal with this before. They worked on defenseless receivers and defenseless players, but not this anywhere, everywhere, everybody approach, and I think they're having a tough time adjusting to it." For the record, Pereira went on to say that he was against the rule and because he thought it would be impossible to officiate when it was initially thought of expanding several years ago. He said he thought it'd be impossible to play if you took the head totally out of it. Now, I am not familiar enough with like the principles of heads up and the way that they have to tackle that way. I find it hard to believe that every NFL player would be reacting in this way if they were like, you know what, we're not doing things the right way. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Now, for the record, like Elijah Lee is a 49ers linebacker. He got hit with the lowering the helmet rule in the preseason opener when he was hitting Bo Scarborough. But according to Lee himself, he told NBC Sports Bay Area that not only was he not fined for the play, but the NFL informed a representative of his that the referee's crew incorrectly threw a flag. So, I mean, it's going to be an ongoing process. There's no doubt. I get why the rule is in place. You want to protect players' brains? I get that. But here's the thing. If you're worried about the angle of your neck or the angle of your head or, you know, things like that, when you're trying to make these split-second reactionary decisions, I at least understand the issue. I get the problems that you could potentially have there. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And it's up to the official's discretion, by the way. It's not just a 15-yard penalty sometimes. If they deem that you're going horizontal or that you're launching or helmet-to-helmet or anything like that, like, you can actually be tossed from the game. You can actually be ejected. I mean, this is something, like, if that happens, now granted, in those cases, I feel like they're probably going to be egregious. And you see them coming, and you're thinking, oh, that looks ugly, that's terrible. That could influence a game, but maybe that player would be tossed out anyway. I'm talking about the garden variety, lowering your head to initiate contact, 15-yard penalties. It's huge in the NFL, and it could turn into a monster problem. 610-632-0975. Final segment, or final hour, I should say. Plenty more segments to go. Final hour coming your way next. It's the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Philadelphia. GEICO presents need-to-know information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
When I know I'll see different people all day, I'll wear the same outfit 2 days in a row.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Whenever I say, this is fun, what I mean is, this is awkward and I don't know how to express my feelings.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I've eaten more cookie dough in my life than baked cookies.
And not needed. But you should know local agents in your area could help you find even more savings with GEICO, like military or federal discounts. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Philadelphia, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Gary Cobb for Experimac of Cherry Hill with a back-to-school message for all parents. Experimac of Cherry Hill sells pre-owned laptops, desktops, iPhones, and iPads for up to 60% off the original price. All products come with a 1-year warranty, so you can be confident with your purchase. Why buy your kids' new Apple products when pre-owned are just as good? I'm an Experimac customer. You can be, too. It's simple. Keyword search Experimac Cherry Hill. All the details are on their website.
Is your car full of ash holes? Couch got a bunch of ash holes on it? Be done with all the ash holes in your life. Stop smoking. Start vaping. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly is now open. Located just off 76, minutes from the stadiums. Gorilla Vapes' friendly staff will show you the best in electronic cigarette hardware, e-liquid, accessories, mods, and advanced vaporizers. Whether you've never tried vaping before or you've been vaping for years, come try Gorilla Vapes of South Philly and let the staff help you with all your vaping needs. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly, 1900 Vera Avenue, Philadelphia.
Hi, it's Jason Martinez here for Window Nation. It's back to school time. And to help you get educated about Window Nation, they're offering instruction on supply and demand. Beat the fall rush. Window Nation has extra capacity now, so lock in the lowest pricing before the demand goes up. With Window Nation's back to school sale, you get one free window for every one you buy. Wood or vinyl styles, buy four, get four free. Buy eight, get eight free, with no limit. Get an A-plus in savings and receive 0% interest until 2020. That's like a free ride until 2020. Use it towards your kids' books, clothes, backpacks, shoes, or even treat yourself. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Get one free window for every one you buy. Buy four, get four free. There's no limit. Plus 0% interest until 2020. This is like free money. Do a little homework today. Get your windows installed before the cold arrives and save big during Window Nation's back-to-school sale. Call today at 866-90-NATION. Or visit windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Hey, it's Harry Mays here to talk about the fastest growing Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram dealer in the tri-state area. My friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Come see why so many South Jersey and Philly buyers are coming to Turnersville for great deals on new Jeeps, Ram pickups, Dodges, and Chryslers at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Now, I was down there, and I'll tell you, wait till you see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. And here's what's great. They're just minutes from all the bridges on Route 42 in Turnersville, New Jersey. Or you can check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Go down there and ask for my main man, Ron, at TurnersvilleJeep.com. It'll be worth the trip. This is Harry Mays for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com? TurnersvilleJeep.com. Located on Route 42 in Turnersville.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too. Even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letter. Stop aggressive collection actions and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-279-8755. 800-279-8755. 800-279-8755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Gargano in the morning. Martinez and Mays midday. Missinelli afternoon. And Philly's best sports talk, period. This is 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios. Only from Comcast.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. You know, it's sneaking up on us here. I can't believe it's already, what, less than a week away now. Fan Fest is coming up on Saturday. Fanatic Fan Fest will be held on Saturday, August 25th at Xfinity Live from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. The only way in is to win tickets from 97.5 The Fanatic. FanFest is presented by Tropicana Atlantic City. Experience more this summer at Tropicana Atlantic City. Ben Simmons will be at FanFest, brought to you by Coors Light, the official partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's what is scheduled so far. Bikini Beach is back. It's a beach oasis in the middle of the Xfinity Live parking lot being created by Elite Landscaping of Berlin, New Jersey. Spider Mountain and Monkey Motion bungee rides, all courtesy of Betty's Bounces. Lamborghinis and Ferraris on display from Imagine Lifestyle's Exotic Rentals. Someone at FanFest will win a football trip to London provided by Big Game Travel. Visit BigGameTravel.com for details. Sal Pal Antonio, Eric Carabel, Ron Jaworski, Tom McGinnis, the Jump Off Band performing on the main stage. Super Bowl champion Brent Celek will also be on site. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com for a list of upcoming ticket raid locations and times. And here, you need to know this. If you're planning on attending FanFest, you might want to get in line early. Here's why. The first 900 people in line before the doors open at 1 p.m. will have a chance to win two things. First, just a casual $50,000. Second, a VIP meet and greet with Ben Simmons.
What?
Get there early. Our Fanatic staff's going to have all the details. The only chance you have is to get there early. 900 people in line for FanFest? That's nothing. That's going to happen in the first 5 minutes.
I could use that $50,000, man. I don't know about you, man.
Well, you know, I think that we could all help out with that a little bit. I mean, you know, I'd sign up for it. Unfortunately, I'm going to be there early, and I am not going to be eligible to win that. So that's just kind of the way that it's going to work, but If you're eligible, Benny, best of luck to you.
I wish, but no.
Okay. All right. Just checking. So that's pretty cool. Make sure that you get there to FanFest, and more details are still going to emerge here over the course of the week here. So definitely make sure that you keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Other big news, by the way, if you didn't hear this, first of all, Adrian Peterson signs with the Washington Redskins. And the Philadelphia Eagles made a local signing here that, you know, if you listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, you've heard this name before. Darius Prince, the Philadelphia sole wide receiver, last year's Arena Bowl MVP, was a first-team all-arena guy this year, but never played college football. Played college basketball at Penn State Beaver. ended up signing with the Eagles, got a workout, and landed a contract. Now, it's a long shot, of course. He's on the 90-man roster. But Darius Prince is now the latest Philadelphia Eagle. He's never played a down of college football. It's pretty cool. He worked out with the Steelers, wasn't signed, worked out with the Eagles yesterday, or last Sunday, I should say, got a call Friday, and then signed his NFL contract on Saturday. Pretty cool. Now, like I said, he's likely not going to make the team. They've got 13 wide receivers on the roster already. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. It's pretty cool that you see a guy in the Arena Football League get signed right here in Philly. They signed Jake Metz a couple of years ago as well. So everybody who asks, you know, do these guys ever make the NFL or do they ever make NFL rosters? Do they ever get into NFL camps? Yep, they sure do. Pretty cool stuff. Now, I wonder, though, if the Eagles are going to be done anyway. Like, are they going to be looking at the waiver wire? Are there cuts that are going to be, figured out for them? What are they going to be doing in terms of trying to shore up their roster? Because, let's face it, they are a really good team. When you're a defending Super Bowl champion, as the Philadelphia Eagles are, and they didn't lose a whole lot, there's not going to be a whole lot up for grabs. But having said that, that means that there could be one or two spots that could potentially be opportunities for players to get involved, to grab roster spots or to move up the depth chart or whatever it is. I'd be interested to see, I think, whether the Eagles are going completely with in-house candidates the rest of the way or if they're instead going to be pretty much locked in to looking at some other help, some external candidates when it comes to linebacker, when it comes to, in particular, maybe fourth string running back, maybe wide receiver. I know they got a lot of receivers that they like, and there are some that have helped themselves out more than others. I think in particular, Shelton Gibson has ended up being everything that the Eagles hoped that he would have been last year. Took a big step forward. Looks like he's going to be a deep threat, solid returner, things like that. That's how you make teams when you're not going to be Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Agholor or Mike Wallace. I don't know how many spots are going to end up being available on this team, but it's pretty rare that any pop up whatsoever. So this is going to be an interesting final 2 weeks of the preseason here, especially with this upcoming game against the Browns being kind of the last one where you're going to see any of the real ones. Anybody who actually is considered a first or second stringer, you're likely going to see less in preseason week four. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Now, we haven't talked about the other Eagles quarterback, Christian Hackenberg, a whole lot, and was reading today an article about him and understanding that he is one of the longest of shots to make the rosters when you consider how strong the Eagles quarterback room is, especially considering there has not been a Nick Foles trade or a Nate Sudfeld trade. It kind of is the writing on the wall for Hackenberg, and now he's just hoping to catch on with somebody else in the event that he gets released by the Eagles. But always interesting to see, you know, local Penn State connection and everything else, what that means. And for a guy who was out of football last year, I'm sure that he's just looking to put positive tape on there. And I think that he would say that he's still learning and working on it and everything else. But you can help yourself a lot more in an NFL camp than you can on your couch. Now, by the way, with respect to the helmet rule issue, it's not like the players and coaches are just completely on their own. We talked about the video that the league is going to produce. But Jim Schwartz also talked about it today, that there's some other good feedback, not just learning from other teams or their own mistakes. But Jim Schwartz said, quote, "We get clips from the league that show not just penalties that were called, but penalties that should have been called. So there's a learning process." Now, the problem is, does it look like Greek? Yeah, are they reading this and seeing, how in the world is this a penalty versus that not being a penalty? How could this have possibly been called? Whatever. look, I know that from complaining, there's not going to be a whole lot of good that comes out of it, right? I'd be surprised if just pushback from the players and coaches ended up like yielding fruit, especially when you think about the fact that this rule is likely in place in order to preserve the NFL's standing in court and their ability to protect themselves from a legal perspective. But at the very least, the fury that a lot of these players are having out there at least will maybe give the league something to think about when it comes to how to handle education of this kind of thing and how to handle, you know, which avenues do you take in order to show teams this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, and so on and so forth. And I think we're seeing the first steps to it right now. But it is absolutely 100% going to end up impacting a game. Because that's what it's going to take, I think, for there to be, you know, realistic alterations or changes. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We can keep the Eagles and NFL talk going if you'd like. But also, I'd be remiss if we didn't have a conversation, a brief one, maybe, but a conversation nonetheless. These Philadelphia Phillies, this weekend, I don't know what to say. How do you even process what's happened with this season, right? The Phillies keep losing to the Mets, and I was reading an article. What was it on? Deadspin? Might have been on Deadspin. I'll try to find it. But the Eagles, or the Phillies, rather, are... This is the article. Here it is. The Phillies are going to miss the playoffs because they keep losing to the Mets. National cable game last night. The MLB Little League Classic in Williamsport. Super cool. Phillies had a chance to climb back into first place in the NL East. The Phillies lost 3 of 5 in the series against the Mets, bringing them to 5-8 against the Mets this year. Now, for perspective, the Mets are 46-64 against every other team that they've played. They're 4-12 against the Braves. Now, it's not all gloom and doom for the Phillies, obviously. They've already eclipsed last year's 66 win total. They're, what, 68-56? They're, generally speaking, pitching well, but they don't hit for long stretches. They're not great in the field. They're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. In fact, they are the worst fielding team in terms of errors. There's 96. They made 4 errors in that 20-run loss to the Mets last week. And they've got 6 more games against the Mets this year. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get how this team can be so effective at home and against a lot of other teams and everything like that. But all you got to do is beat the Mets, and they're slipping through their fingers. I have no idea what to even make of it. I can't be grumpy about what the Phillies have done because of, honestly, the way that I consider them to be ahead of schedule in relation to where I thought they'd be this year. But we always talk about expectations being adjusted and you meet a goal, you set a new goal, things like that. Well, every Phillies fan in the city should have their eyes on the playoffs. And at this point, it's not like the playoffs are out of reach by any stretch. But the Phillies need to play better against the dreck teams in baseball and not play down to the level of their competition. And that's a problem. Now, I know that in the Williamsport game in particular, there's a whole lot else going on. That the Little League stuff is super cool and there's distractions and things like that. I'm not saying that I'm willing to give them a pass on that game because the Mets had the same kind of deal, even though there's no Mets affiliate in Williamsport. But at least I understand if there was some kind of distraction, some kind of a lack of razor focus. But, I mean, that's one game. I can't explain the rest of them. I don't get it. They got a three-game series starting tomorrow night against the Nationals. It's going to be huge. Tied with the Braves. And, I mean, this is going to be a the Phillies are, what, like 5-8 in their last 13? But the Braves got swept by the Rockies, and you didn't make up any real ground because you were so busy losing to the Mets. That's the problem. So right now, Philadelphia is a half game back of Atlanta. And there's still, don't get me wrong, Philly still has a favorable schedule, let's call it, in front. But it's only favorable if you stop losing to these bad teams. And that's where the frustration, I think, sets in. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. By the way, if you missed any of our shows this week, make sure you go to 975thefanatic.com or the Fanatic app for the full show podcast. Listen anytime, anywhere on your schedule. So that's not just this show. If you missed Devon Givens, if you missed the morning show, the midday show, and obviously Mike Missanelli, anybody on the weekends, there's a lot of people who just say, you know what, I'm not in the car, or I had to be down the shore this weekend. I missed it. I don't want to miss a second of any of these shows. What did Mike say about this? What did Anthony say about this? The midday guys, I missed the nooner. That's my favorite part. All that stuff. You can listen to the full shows on both 975thefanatic.com and the Fanatic app. You can hit them both up, or either, whichever you want. Get the full show podcast and listen to any of them on your schedule. Pretty cool stuff. 610-632-0975. Man, I'm torn on the Phillies. I really am, because you know what? It's almost like I don't want to come down too hard because of what my expectations were ahead of the season in relation to where my expectations are now. Like, the fact that the Phillies are ahead of schedule, according to what a lot of baseball pundits had them pegged for. I mean, there's that, but the other side of it is incredibly frustrating, where it's like this could be a team that's in first place and gaining the lead on the Braves rather than, you know, kind of petering it all away. I don't know. Maybe they'll stabilize. Maybe they'll reset the ship, but I'm not sure. We haven't talked about it since early in the show. But if you haven't been paying attention to the Eagles' big news, he was talking today about being back in full team 11-on-11 drills. And it's the first time that he's done that since late July. It'd been weeks that the team was kind of holding him out of 11-on-11. And he talked about how he felt good and he's good, all that. He said he still wants to play in the opener on September 6th. He still says it'll be close, but he says, I have really no hesitation in the pocket when guys are around me. I feel really good. It's going to come down to if they feel confident in contact and when that is. I can't say yet. He said it's part of the plan to like have himself backed off. But I know that, and Wentz said it himself, that he wants to be out there every single day. He wants to be a full participant in every single thing. But it totally wasn't my call, and you have to be smart in those situations. It was tough. But yeah, getting out there in the full team drills, I definitely enjoyed it. So it's not like, let me put this into context and put it in perspective. It's not as though Wentz took this monumental step forward and it was anything new. It was more like this is where Wentz was at the beginning of preseason, and then they throttled him way down, pulled him out of 11-on-11 and organized team activities and everything else in terms of the team drills. And now he's like kind of back to where he was before when we were thinking, okay, we feel great about this, and this is incredible that he's back at this recovery plateau. He's made it back. That is reason, certainly, for optimism. And you have every reason as an Eagles fan to be psyched about the fact that Wentz is back with the team 11-on-11 and everything else. No argument there whatsoever. But there are still some hurdles to climb in terms of the season opener. And Doug Peterson said that Wentz and Foles will split first-team reps 50-50 as the team starts to prepare both of the quarterbacks for the season opener against the Falcons on the 6th. So, I mean, we'll see. There's still just as good a chance that you see Nick Foles as Carson Wentz. But Wentz is at least on the recovery comeback trail and everything else. Now, the mental thing is something that we've always talked about, right? Like, how is your body? Can you trust your body? Are you going to, you know, shrink from contact or anything like that? Wentz said, I don't think so. I feel good out there. Obviously, I haven't been hit yet, but out there in the team drills, guys flying all around, all those things, I don't feel like I have any mental hesitation, and I'm personally not worried about it. I actually agree, based on what I've seen. Like, you hear people talk about it all the time. You hear players and coaches and everybody say, oh, yeah, this guy looks great. He has no hesitation, nothing in terms of being hesitant about any kind of health injury or any kind of mental block, nothing. And then you see the player and you see them turning away from contact or their clocks accelerated or things like that. And you say, all right, well, you know, we're being sold a bill of goods. We're told that this guy's good to go or whatever. That doesn't seem to be the case with Wentz. Everything that I've seen, everything that's been reported, everything that the team is actually showing us suggests that he is, in fact, feeling good to go and that he's ready and that he's starting to ramp up into form for the regular season. That's good. Could that all change when the ammunition's live and when he potentially could be getting knocked around or have to cut at game speed or avoid defensive ends or things like that? Yeah, it's true. And that's all 100% valid. But at least at this point, everything that is possible for Wentz to do to show us that he's going to be ready for week one has been done. Comes down to medical and everything else. Yeah, okay, maybe. But I think as an Eagles fan, you should feel as good as you possibly can with respect to Wentz being there and being able to do what he can to be out there for week one. Still might be Foles, but there's at least as good a chance that it is Wentz as it is for Foles. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this, because this kind of slipped through the radar for a lot of people, flew under the radar. One of the, well, I don't know how you'd, like, how you'd really describe him at this point, because he's a guy who, you know, formerly was an NFL executive and now is kind of an NFL analyst. You might remember Mike Lombardi talking about Doug Peterson and his qualifications to be a head coach, or more accurately, the lack thereof, you know, in terms of the coaching power rankings and what were the best hires of the offseason and everything like that. You might remember Mike Lombardi didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about Doug Peterson when he got hired. Imagine my surprise when I saw the latest thing that was supposedly an interaction between Mike Lombardi and Doug Peterson. I saw this drift across on Twitter. I said, what? He said that, really? We'll get to that on the other side. It's the Joe Torty Show, taking you up until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Have you watched the value of your house continue to go up? Maybe it's time to put that equity to work while rates are still fairly low. Americans have over $5.5 trillion in tappable equity that can be used for many things like paying off very high credit cards, student loans, remodel your house, or add that pool your kids have begged you for. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Let us put you in a position to do any of these things with no closing costs. That's right. Nothing's rolled into your loan, whether it's conventional, FHA, or VA. We'll pay your title, settlement, lender, and recording fees. Or maybe you just want to refinance out of your mortgage insurance with no closing costs. Think about it. All it takes is a 5-minute phone call to see how we can save you hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Call us at 888-455-3669. 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669.
Westland Financial Corp is licensed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of Banking. NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
When it rains, it pours. and it has been relentless recently. If your roof hasn't been up to the challenge, call Roofing Nation now. Protect your precious home for as little as $99 a month. Seeing stains on the ceiling, or worse, drips or warped wallboards? And what you don't see could be damaging your home structure. You can't afford to wait, because a new Roofing Nation roof is more affordable than ever at just $99 a month and 50% off on all roofing. We will even throw in free gutters as a bonus. Even at this incredibly low price, you're still getting a top-of-the-line roofing system from the same local company with a nationwide reputation for quality products and workmanship, Window Nation. Now's the time to replace that old roof before it does serious damage to your home. Roofing Nation guarantees you a top-of-the-line roofing system, including lifetime shingles, lifetime warranties, and more, starting as low as $99 a month. 50% off and free gutters. Can't get much better than that. Low prices, same great roof, expedited installation, and peace of mind that it's done right the first time. Call now, 833-4-NATION, or visit roofingnation.com. Again, 833-4-NATION, or roofingnation.com.
Commence Exxon and Mobil field test. Scientists observed Subject A at station refueling with Synergy gasoline, available in three grades and meticulously engineered to help protect your engine from deposits while giving you better gas mileage. Clearly, Subject A is intelligent. Maybe Subject A wants to get a burger and be best friends. Subject A is leaving. Conclusion? Synergy gasoline gives you better gas mileage, and Subject A is a maybe for burgers and best friends.
Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here. Fuel economy claims are compared with gasoline meeting minimum government standards. Results will vary. Visit Exxon.com or Mobil.com for details.
Paying more for paint doesn't make it better paint. It just makes it more expensive. The Home Depot carries some of the highest quality paint brands in America, but you'd never know it by the price. Like top-rated Behr Premium Plus, starting at only $26.98 a gallon. Look around. You can always find a higher price, but you won't find better paint. Quality paint, lower price, now with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
When it comes to operating a motorcycle safely, you are what you wear. Different states have different requirements, but the safest way to enjoy your ride is to drive for success. Wearing a helmet is the best way to guard against severe head injuries. A motorcycle rider not wearing one is five times more likely to sustain a critical head injury. And wearing protective gear like face shields, leather clothing, boots with non-skid soles and gloves all serve to keep you safer should an accident occur.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance. Visit geico.com to see how much you could save.
North Shore Bar and Kitchen in North Wildwood is hosting a legendary football pep rally on Friday, August 24th. Don't miss out. Join Harry Mays and myself, Jason Martinez, for a live broadcast, then stay for a pep rally with football legends Ron Jaworski and Trey Thomas. Get ready for another world champion season at North Shore Bar and Kitchen. One lucky person will win an all-inclusive trip for two to see your world champs play in Nashville. Don't miss out on this exciting day. Football legends, food and drink specials, all at North Shore Bar in North Wildwood.
Hey guys, it's Natalie from 97.5 The Fanatic. Fenley & Company Jewelers is at it again this year, offering Fanatic listeners the chance to win $2,500 toward a Fantasy Viraggio engagement ring for your fantasy girl. Go to the contest page on 97.5thefanatic.com to enter, and don't forget to stop by their booth at FanFest on August 25th for a chance to play me in cornhole and win some great prizes. Fenley & Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and online at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's largest diamond destination.
At Rose Auto, we hate the snooty car salespeople and the plaid jackets as much as you do. Who wants to pay more to pay for someone's suit? Not us, and not our customers. As the area's longest-standing independent family-owned dealership, Rolls Auto keeps costs lower by avoiding overhead charges, which save you money. But we have the inventory to rival any big-name dealership. Make this shrewd move for you and your family, and roll into Rolls Auto. For the best prices and best selection, visit Rolls Auto on Frankfort Avenue in Mayfair and online at RollsAuto.com.
Sports talk for Willingboro and all of Burlington County. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. There are layers to this Mike Lombardi thing. And each layer gets more interesting and ridiculous than the last one. So we're going to get into that in just a second. Benny Odita is my producer behind the glass. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to climb aboard. You can also catch up with the show on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're going to get to Mike Lombardi in just a second. But first, we're going to go to Matt and Audubon. Matt, we're on the Joe Torti Show. What's happening, man?
What's up, Joe?
How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Good. Well, listen, I think I'm getting frustrated with this Carson Wentz thing because I think it's fairly obvious that it took them all but you know, the whole game, and then it came down to one possession to beat the Falcons last year, and that was a close game.
Everything
in the NFL matters. It's so important. That's the biggest game they have in the first four. So, in my opinion, this is a rarity in that Nick Foles' skill set is different than Carson Wentz's skill set. Now, I think Carson Wentz is going to play. I don't think there's anything else the doctors need to see. The time frame's already there. Their eye test has already been passed. They've already cleared it for 11-on-11. This is simply an added advantage to make the Falcons have to game plan for two different types of quarterbacks, and it may make the difference between getting a win and not getting a win.
Sure. And they've got to evaluate, too, like their roster here for the last two games of preseason. You're right. Atlanta's going to have a lot on their mind when it comes to game planning for two quarterbacks. You might be onto something there, Matt.
And I just think that was kind of dismissed last week as like, well, they don't need to do that. In the NFL, you need to do everything because every game is so important now, especially this game that means so much for a team who wants to return, you know, to the NFC Championship game and, you know, have home field advantage. Like, that first game may make the difference in a tiebreaker scenario or something like that. So I just think that I think he's going to play, and I think it's just an added advantage. If not a small advantage, that may be all they need. So I just think that's where this is headed. It's a tactic, like a lot of things.
Well, it makes sense to me, Matt. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And not only that, like, I don't mean to speak evil into the world, but in the event that Wentz, for whatever reason, is unable to finish the Falcons game, Atlanta still has to deal with Foles. So, like, even if it's not like a gambit from the Eagles or whatever, like, I don't know if it's possible. Nick Foles is not the average backup quarterback in the NFL. I mean, Atlanta learned that last year in the playoffs. Now, the Eagles are also, they happen to be a well-coached, very well-run, good team that puts Foles in position to succeed as well. So it's not like he's going to come in if he is pressed into duty and you're just going to feast on the backup quarterback. That's not the way that it's going to work. Let's go to Lance in Arizona. Lance, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe, I had a couple of things. The first one is a Phillies point.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves are 25-6 against the Mets and the Marlins and 44-49 against the rest of baseball. That's the difference right now, is that the Phillies can't get out of their own way by going 38-28 against the Marlins, Mets, Padres, and Reds.
Just beat the bad teams, Lance. That's it. Just beat the bad teams.
That's all they had to do. That's all they have to do is beat the bad. They could have even lost 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox and just beaten the bad teams, and they would be fine.
Yep.
They just don't do it. And that, you know what it comes down to? I think it's a lack of focus on some of the guys. I think they just assume the Mets suck, so they're just going to go out there and beat them.
Right, sleepwalk through the game.
And that's what happens. To say that those 07 Phillies teams, they did that in like June, and then they got out of it by the end of the year, and they started bashing the bad teams, and that's how they caught the Mets, was that they just kept beating down on these bad teams. The Phillies don't do that. The Phillies just play down to their opponent, and when their opponent's good, they play out.
Yep, you're on to something there, Lance. You really are. And that's the frustrating part, is that they've got more bad teams than good teams in front of them, and it's the stretch run here. It's going to determine whether they make the playoffs or not.
Exactly. And then I wanted to get to the penalty part.
Yes.
I think they need to go and get rid of guys jumping into the end zone, diving for it, and guys diving at the goal line. You see more injuries that way.
Yep.
Like that Carson Wentz injury. If you made it illegal for him to jump and just get into the end zone like that, and then those guys to do the same thing, that injury is prevented. Like, that's a preventable injury if you do that. The thing about with Wentz, that when that happened was, first off, if it's a dead play, if there's a penalty, that's another one where offensively you're going full steam. Defensively, you're thinking about, oh, man, I just made this penalty. And now, like, they're doing a full play. There's times where guys get hurt on those because they're not expecting the play to continue because you don't know when the ref's going to stop it or when he's
right.
Going to stop it, because there's times he's doing that. That's another thing that they have an issue with. Like, the NFL is focusing on, like, tackling rule with the helmet. I don't really, like, that to me wasn't, like, it's a contact sport. At some point in time, you do it at your own risk. That's the problem the NFL is coming up with. It's now they're telling you, okay, we got to get rid of this, got to get rid of this. At some point in time, you assume the risk. Like, if I go and I do something stupid, I'm assuming the risk because I did the thing that was stupid. This is the same thing. Football is a contact sport. You're going to get hurt. If you play long enough, you're going to get hurt.
Yep.
This is the laws of football say you're going to get hurt. that's the reality. Now, the thing is instead of trying to make all these rules that hurt, like, the visibility of the game for people and turn them off, why don't you work on safety of getting better helmets, getting better pads, not having guys play at 350 pounds along the offensive line, which is not good for their health either.
Lance, you're on to something there. Thanks for the phone call, man, as always. That, I wonder if there is going to be a quiet or shadow campaign to start that kind of stuff. Whether it's, I mean, I don't even know what would help helmets and shoulder pads and stuff. I'm not like an engineer from that perspective, but I'm sure that there are advances in technology that are continuing to be made, whether it was the breakaway helmet up top on the crown, like that you see a lot of players wearing now. I don't know. I'm sure that there are other things that you could implement that would make the game a little bit safer and that eventually would be able to protect players. Now, you know, 350-pound offensive linemen, at some level, it's like it's a part of the game. Now, I don't know nobody knows how much nose tackles weigh, right? It's a huge mystery. Nose tackles keep their weights secret and things like that, right? So you're just guessing. Is that guy 325? Is he 330? Is he 360? Is he 380? You don't know. But I don't know how you would legislate some of the stuff, because Lance makes great points about like jumping into the end zone and stuff like that. But like, how do you legislate that? Is it like if you go airborne to enter the end zone, it's a penalty and you're going backwards? I mean, some of the plays that they air, like the Mike Vick flip into the end zone and stuff like that. I mean, those are the plays that the NFL wants to keep alive and that they've glorified over the course of the year. So I don't know. I don't get how to fix this. I get that there are, and Lance is just the latest of a lot of people who've called in with great ideas today that solve bits and chunks and pieces of this thing. But at the core of the matter, I don't know how anyone could not see it this way, because it's so clear that the NFL is facing a legal issue with respect to this CTE, brain injuries, concussions thing. And so this is, in addition to, like, the secondary reason is a player safety deal, but the first thing, as far as I can see, is a legal posturing position to say that we are doing everything that we can to make the game safer, while at the same time not wanting to acknowledge the connection between football and brain injuries, when it's pretty clear from scientific evidence that there's just about a one-to-one connection between the two. I understand why that would be problematic when you're looking at players who are coming at you with attorneys and ex-players who are coming and looking for payouts and things like that, and you're the league and you want to protect your business and you don't want to pay out or whatever. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm saying that I understand where you're coming from a legal perspective. I've seen corporations and car companies and everyone else. I mean, that's one of the things that you learn watching Fight Club, right? Is that, you know, a car company doesn't do a recall if there's something that's not safe in the car. They do a recall when it becomes financially untenable to deal with lawsuits related to whatever this issue might be. It's a math problem. It's a balancing act equation. I do believe that at some level, the league is truly concerned about player safety. It's a much lower level than they are concerned about protecting themselves legally, because realistically, this is the first ever. The USFL wasn't a threat. The XFL wasn't a threat. All of these other football leagues that have popped up are not threats to the NFL in terms of stealing away audience or the ability to entertain or to draw people's attention or whatever. Has nothing to do with it. But this concussion CTE lawsuit thing, where like the people who are on that side of it are saying football equals concussions, that's something that could potentially forever alter the landscape of the league and the sport. That's the one thing that could take football down. That's why this is so important for members on all sides and players on all sides to manage this properly. And from a league perspective, you're protecting the sport. forget protecting the NFL. I mean, that's a given. Like, you're going to do that anyway. This is extended to protecting a sport. And that's the difference. 610-632-0975. I haven't forgotten about you. We're going to get to Mike Lombardi in just a second about what he talked about with Doug Peterson. Can't believe the last thing that he said. And some of his quotes are pretty much straight out of what you'd think you'd hear from Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman or some of those guys, right? So we'll get to that in just a second. 610-632-0975. If you are planning on attending FanFest this Saturday, you might want to get in line early. Here's why. The first 900 people in line before the doors open at 1 p.m. will have a chance to win two things. $50,000 and a VIP meet and greet with Ben Simmons. Get there early and our Fanatic staff will have all the details. The only chance that you're going to have at even sniffing this thing is to get there early. So make sure that you're there at Xfinity Live on August 25th. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torty Show, taking you up until midnight on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
You work in any of the trades? You want more cash in your pocket today? Then go to Armor Metals and Recycling. Well, they'll pay you top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, computers, peripheries, and more. Armor Metals and Recycling has a tractor trailer accessible large 6-acre facility, magnet service, 70-foot truck scale, 2 non-ferrous scales, container service, and loading dock with scale for large palletized shipments. Armor Metals and Recycling is one of the few facilities with analyzing capabilities on premises for exotic metals like carbide, cobalt, and nickel. Can't make it to Armor Metals and Recycling? No problem. They'll come to you. Get paid on site with Armor's weight and pay mobile service available for a minimum of 500 pounds of non-ferrous metals. What are you waiting for? Get paid cash today for all metals, wires, motors, computers, and more at Armor Metals and Recycling. Located at 8300 National Highway behind Pensauken High School in Pensauken, New Jersey. 856-665-5715 or armormetalsrecycling.com. That's armormetalsandrecycling.com.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeteer, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With game day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Oh. Dilly dilly.
Enjoyed responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Rose Auto, we hate the snooty car salespeople and the plaid jackets as much as you do. Who wants to pay more to pay for someone's suit? Not us, and not our customers. As the area's longest-standing independent family-owned dealership, Rose Auto keeps costs lower by avoiding overhead charges, which save you money. But we have the inventory to rival any big-name dealership. Make this shrewd move for you and your family. And roll into Rose Auto. For the best prices and best selection, visit Rose Auto on Frankfurt Avenue in Mayfair and online at roseauto.com.
North Shore Bar and Kitchen in North Wildwood is hosting a legendary football pep rally on Friday, August 24th. Don't miss out. Join Harry Mays and myself, Jason Martinez, for a live broadcast, then stay for a pep rally with football legends Ron Jaworski and Trey Thomas. Get ready for another world champion season at North Shore Bar and Kitchen. One lucky person will win an all-inclusive trip for two to see your world champs play in Nashville. Don't miss out on this exciting day. Football legends, food and drink specials, all at North Shore Bar in North Wildwood.
Is your car full of ash holes? Couch got a bunch of ash holes on it? Be done with all the ash holes in your life. Stop smoking. Start vaping. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly is now open. Located just off 76, minutes from the stadiums. Gorilla Vapes' friendly staff will show you the best in electronic cigarette hardware, e-liquid, accessories, mods, and advanced vaporizers. Whether you've never tried vaping before or you've been vaping for years, come try Gorilla Vapes of South Philly and let the staff help you with all your vaping needs. Gorilla Vapes of South Philly, 1900 Bear Avenue, Philadelphia.
You like a good fit. We get it. Your best running shoes, your lucky cap, your favorite pair of jeans. Your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should too. University of Maryland University College was founded more than 70 years ago to serve working adults and the military. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates so that you can get started on your schedule. With convenient online learning, and by providing no-cost online resources replacing most textbooks. Because a college education can work for your wallet, too. University of Maryland University College. State University. Global campus. Made for you. Find out how UMUC can work for you. Get started on fulfilling your dreams with one of our 90-plus programs and specializations. Apply now. No application fee now through August 31st. Visit umuc.edu/radio. That's umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Come into Lowe's and save on everything you need to keep your backyard in prime shape for summer. Finish up the yard work with ease by getting a Troy-Bilt 2-cycle string trimmer plus edger, now only $89. Then relax and bring on the flavor with a Charbroil black and stainless steel 4-burner grill, including a side burner, for only $189. Just in time to make your next cookout even more enjoyable. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. While supplies last, see store for details.
Danger stands for safety, and they know what safety stands for. S, safety. A, all about safety. F, feeling good about safety. E, extreme safety. T, talking about safety. Y, you guessed it, safety. First aid kits, eyewash stations, fire protection. You name it. For over 90 years, they've been helping to keep facilities safe and people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your BACK. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Not your father's sports talk.
Sports talk.
97.5. The Fanatic.
Okay, so you might have remembered Mike Lombardi as the guy who just crushed the Doug Peterson hire. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5. The Fanatic. Benny Odita back behind the glass. This was like one of the biggest stories, I think. And you know what? There were a lot of people that were not high on Doug Peterson as a hire. There were a lot of people who thought of him as the safe choice and Andy Reid 2.0 and everything else, right? Mike Lombardi took it a step further by saying that Doug Peterson was less qualified to coach a team than anyone I've ever seen before the start of last year. Now, you might have remembered that since then, Doug Peterson has gone on to win the Super Bowl, and everyone's been giving it to Mike Lombardi ever since. Now, Peter King, in his column today, was talking about Doug Peterson's upcoming book here. And that allowed Doug to talk a little bit about what's happened since Mike Lombardi said that stuff. Right? Now, the week before the 2017 season, Mike Lombardi, longtime NFL front office man who is working for The Ringer, wrote about Doug Peterson. Quote, everybody knows Doug Peterson isn't a head coach. He might be less qualified to coach a team than anyone I've ever seen. So obviously when Doug Peterson's on the road to winning the Super Bowl, that gets a lot of attention. Now, in Doug Peterson's book, he says that Lombardi wrote him a letter during the playoffs last season. And it was written on a typewriter, and it was about three paragraphs long. This is what Doug says. The letter said, "The first rule of any informed opinion is to never begin with the end in mind, and I violated that rule. For that, I extend my sincere apology." Doug says, "I was appreciative. At least it showed that he was man enough to admit that he was wrong." Well, that's all well and good. But I hear that, and I'm like, what? Now, I had to get some clarity on this because, you know, you don't hear things like that. One of my rules is to never start with the end or whatever he said, right? To never begin with the end in mind. I'm like, okay, come on. That's not the first time that we've heard this. It can't be, right? So I happened to just, while I was reading this, I happened to Google that phrase because I think that I've heard something like it before. And in fact, I have. It is commonly given investment advice for a stock, and it talks about stock biases and things like that. But Michael Lombardi also used it in his new book, Gridiron Genius. He talks about all the biases that can infect a football organization. Confirmation bias is absolutely insidious in my field, even though it breaks the first rule of scouting: never begin with the end in mind. So that means that he's pretty much admitting to Doug Peterson that initially when he was first hired, he thought there's no way that this guy can coach, and then just looked for reasons why this guy couldn't coach during his entire tenure, all the way up through the playoffs. Now, having said that, like Doug Peterson, I actually respect somebody who shows that, you know, you can admit that you're wrong and apologize in person, or at least to the person, not necessarily through some kind of public, just to anyone who I might have offended by saying this, blah, 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 like all that garbage, right? This is what Doug Peterson says next, and this is the juicy part of this whole thing. After the Super Bowl, the possibility of writing this book came up. That's Doug Peterson's book. One of the interested companies thought Lombardi would be a great co-author and submitted an offer. Doug Peterson says respectfully, no thanks. Oh! Doug Peterson airing that he turned down an opportunity to have Lombardi co-author his book and put him out there all over the internet for composing his apology letter with a typewriter. Holy smokes. Doug Peterson going scorched earth on the haters. Man, oh man. That is just... When I heard that, I thought... I knew that Doug Peterson was a guy who, you know, used motivation, right? External motivation. People saying, oh, I don't believe the Eagles can do it. I don't think that Doug Peterson can coach. I knew that that would motivate him. You don't see a team running around with underdog masks unless the coach has some kind of impact on that. You don't see people approaching things the way that the Eagles approached things last season without at least taking on the DNA, the personality of the coach that's in place. So I knew that Doug Peterson at least had some level of that in him. But he could have just said, you know what, I appreciated Mike Lombardi said, I'm sorry. But then to talk about, oh yeah, well actually this company thought that Lombardi would be great to co-author my book, and I said no thanks. There's Peterson twisting the knife. Oh man. I gotta tell you, that is one of the most Doug Peterson things I think that I've heard in a long time. It's pretty remarkable. Now, having said that, like I said, and I want to reinforce that Mike Lombardi, you know, said publicly as well that the guy did a tremendous job, you know, that he's sorry about the way that everybody, you know, or that he's sorry about what he said after the Jason Kelce thing, where Kelce was talking about how Doug Peterson is the worst coaching hire or whatever. Some clown named Mike Lombardi told Doug Peterson he was the least qualified coach in the NFL. Lombardi said, look, he's right. What can you do? The guy won a Super Bowl. The guy did a tremendous job coaching the team. In that game, they did a great job. They won. They played the game kind of how I thought they would. I said all along they were going to be a tough matchup to the Patriots. Okay, there's the backpedal. But at the very least, wrote a letter to Doug Peterson apologizing for calling him the least qualified person out of anyone to coach in the NFL. So at least they've got that going for him. Want to remind you, by the way, FanFest is coming up. It is on Saturday, August 25th at Xfinity Live from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. We already told you how important it is to show up early. You could win $50,000 and a chance to meet Ben Simmons, presented by Coors Light. But the only way in is to win tickets from 97.5 The Fanatic. FanFest is presented by Tropicana Atlantic City. Experience more this summer at Tropicana Atlantic City. Like I said, Ben Simmons will be at FanFest, brought to you by Coors Light, the official partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. Here's what you run the risk of missing if you're not there. Bikini Beach is back. It's a beach oasis in the middle of the Xfinity Live parking lot being created by Elite Landscaping of Berlin, New Jersey. Spider Mountain and Monkey Motion bungee rides, all courtesy of Betty's Bounces. Lamborghinis and Ferraris on display from Imagine Lifestyles Exotic Rentals. Someone at FanFest will win a football trip to London provided by Big Game Travel. Visit BigGameTravel.com for details. Sal Palantonio, Eric Carabel, Ron Jaworski, Tom McGinnis. The Jump Off Band will be performing on the main stage. Super Bowl champion Brent Celek will also be on site. All you got to do is go to 97.5TheFanatic.com for a list of upcoming ticket raid locations and times. And just for perspective, because, I mean, let's face it, these things are running out here. FanFest is coming right up here. You've got to get locked in and make sure that you know everything that you need to know about FanFest and the upcoming ticket raids here. So I see on August 23rd, we've got one at Club Risqué. Xfinity Live, we've actually got one early. Oh, no. Check that. That is just the FanFest announcement. So there's one ticket raid left. So you're either going to a ticket raid or you're keeping things locked in to 97.5 The Fanatic in order to win your tickets. So if you don't have tickets yet, make sure that you find a way. Thank you very much to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for this evening really enjoyed the conversation so far tonight. And I'm looking forward to another week of talking football, baseball, and all things Philadelphia sports with you. Benny Odita, thank you very much for another tremendous job producing this evening's program. Until tomorrow, I'll be back on the air at 9 p.m. This is Joe Torti saying so long. Thanks for joining me for the Joe Torti Show. We've got a five-hour break until the Fanatic at 5, so tune back in then right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.